I don't know. He's kind of out fucking dated.
So what? I'm an old man. I have the right to be outdated. What do you want me to tell you?
We have to get a fucking liner from him and a picture with him, too. Mark Adam Haggerty.
Okay, so you just told everybody we're getting a picture of Mark Adam Haggerty.
Yeah, after a show.
All right, well, we're starting the show, so you might as well get started.
All right, tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we're not going to talk about food for 24 minutes. We're going to actually talk about wrestling. We're going to talk about Hard to Kill. We're going to talk about NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2. We're going to talk about MLW. We're going to talk about AEW. And in studio, the voice of MLW, Mr. Mark Adam Haggerty, is joining us all next tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on RantiumRadio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.ShiningWizards.com. Shop at Amazon at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, buttheads, you're listening to Jason Hervey on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Yeah, and I...
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, Shining Wizards Wrestling Talk.
And talk about wrestling!
Woo-hoo! I'm so glad you two idiots are in a good mood because I'm fucking miserable.
Why? What's wrong?
Because I fucking hate the world of professional wrestling right now.
What?
I fucking hate wrestling.
Why?
I hate it. Kevin, when you predict that one thing's going to happen and something else doesn't happen, have you been called a snowflake?
No.
Oh, well, that's a first for me. That happened this weekend.
Someone called you a snowflake?
Someone called me a snowflake because I had the audacity to say that Sami Callihan was going to win and retain his championship.
I don't understand.
Because I hate women and I got to get with the times and you should suspend your disbelief.
Bro,
and
name names.
And it's, just fucking mindless, nameless people on Twitter.
Wait, but who follows you on Twitter?
Everybody follows me on Twitter. Discussions at 401 Mania on fucking discussions about what was happening with the pay-per-view.
Are you a website messenger? Like
I message everybody, dude.
Do you comment on
Hell
posts?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's your problem.
What do you mean?
Those forums are full of fucking trolls.
So here's the thing. I go something like, I don't think that Tessa Blanchard is going to win the championship because you book yourself into a corner. Where do you go from here?
She loses the championship.
Shut up. I'm making a point. Don't interrupt. So I get, you're afraid of having a woman win a men's title, snowflake?
Win a chicken dinner.
And somebody comes to my aid and goes, well, why doesn't Sami Callihan just challenge Taya Valkyrie for the women's championship then? Oh, boy, that guy got an ass kicking for that comment.
He should. That's silly.
No, it's not silly. Tessa Blanchard, a woman, is the world champion of Impact.
Yeah.
And there's a women's champion.
So?
And you have Nyla Rose, who used to be a dude who's now a woman, going for a women's championship, too.
So? Correct.
So why is that silly that Taya Valkyrie would have to defend that title against, say, like a Brian Cage or a Michael Elgin? What's the difference?
There's a lot of difference.
There's no difference! Logically, statistically, even anatomically, there's no difference between a man winning a women's title and a woman winning a man's title. Fucking Andy Kaufman did it in the 70s, and Tessa Blanchard did it in 2020. So there is no fucking difference.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you.
Yes, you are. You said there's a huge difference.
I think there's a big difference because in wrestling, let's be honest.
Until
recently, the men have been way more prioritized than the women. So that is still there. That still exists. That the men's title in some companies, maybe not WWE anymore, but in some companies, there's more prestige in being the world champion. So why would Sami Callihan challenge for the women's championship?
Because it's a title. Why is Tim Storm in the TV title tournament in NWA? That's not the most prestigious title, but he's going after it.
Feed Tim Storm.
Because once he lost to Nick Aldis, he couldn't challenge for the NWA title.
Okay, then why is AJ Styles fighting for, I don't know, the United States Championship? Why wouldn't you go after the world title?
The fucking garden gnome is writing the TV for WWE.
Dude, I'm just saying, across the board, if you want equality, there's no problem taking that logical step. But boy, did that guy get an ass whipping. And I don't really fucking see the difference. I don't see the difference. Put the title on Tessa, fine. But why can't it go the other way?
Because it's not called the Men's World Championship. Called the Impact World Championship.
Well, look at you.
Nailed it.
A man that he can't do something because of his anatomy.
He can't. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, you just sided with Kevin by that statement.
I'm just saying.
First of all, he didn't side with me. He probably had this opinion already.
The woman, I didn't even think about it, to be perfectly honest with you, because I think the storytelling that they've done on Impact with Sammy and Tessa has been brilliant.
It's been gold. It's probably been the best thing going today.
Okay, well, I still stand by it. I think it was a bad call.
Women's title is a woman's title, so it confines that just to women. The world championship has never been a gender equal.
So China winning the Intercontinental Championship infuriated you?
It was kind of stupid that they made her co-champion with Jericho.
She had it by herself.
It wasn't a world championship, though.
What's the difference?
It was a men's championship.
Okay, so then that goes further to my point. What's the difference? I'm not upset that the women's title is on, the man's title is on a woman in and of itself. I'm upset that it can't go both ways.
They haven't crossed that bridge yet.
But people are so woke that a woman is now a world champion that they can't see.
What are these words you're using?
Oh, these are the words that I got used on me this weekend.
Bro,
I learned a whole new vocabulary and vernacular.
You got to stay off these message boards and shit, Tony.
Dude, this is what goes on.
No, it doesn't. I don't do it. Matt doesn't do it.
It's out there, though.
I know it's out there, but these people have nothing better to do than sit in front of a fucking laptop or a computer and just spew nonsense.
I had an awesome conversation with one of our followers on Twitter. I don't remember who the fellow was.
Yes, no, look, I've had...
And it was back and forth about the whole Tessa thing, and we agreed to disagree, and everything was like, I see your point, I see your point, and it was cool.
Right, for every one of those, because I've had them too. There's five. Someone when I got back from vacation, I was catching up on Wrestle Kingdom, and Dynamite was on. And I wasn't watching Dynamite, but I was on Twitter, and someone said the Young Fucks just came out and they didn't get a pop. And I said, what's the purpose of this tweet? And then they said,
don't engage.
And then they sent a GIF of like someone doing like a I don't know. And I said, if you don't like it, don't fucking watch it and don't spew venomous shit. I'm not spewing anything venomous. I go, you refer to the Young Bucks as the Young Fucks. Where are you from? Where you show your appreciation and your love for somebody by referring to them as fucks, especially on a public forum like Twitter, where everybody takes everything for face value.
What's up?
Like when I had to explain that
that's where that kid lives.
That I really didn't think Strictly Business was a bad name, but because Nick Aldis is a heel, I have to treat him like a heel even on Twitter. And it worked because I got a great response.
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah, sure you did.
He's fucking fantastic.
He's the best.
Yeah, but does he actually hate us now?
No.
He doesn't fucking hate us.
Call him up. Let's get him on the phone.
You got all that fucking...
Open Skype.
I'm sure he'll be glad to talk to us.
You got the didgeridoos over there. He had a fucking big weekend, Mr. Nick Aldis.
He likes to talk, I'm sure he would be much obliged.
Well, we got Mark Adam Haggerty joining us in the 8 o'clock hour.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Live in studio.
Yes, he will be here soon.
The voice of MLW.
Nailed it.
Oh my God, I just noticed Kevin isn't in his usual seat tonight. That didn't even throw me off until now.
You're so upset about this title thing.
And who's to say that's not a next step?
Look, I'm not upset. They put the belt on him.
Oh, my God. Could have fooled me.
I'm upset.
Wasn't Santino a Divas champion?
And so was Harvey Whippleman.
Okay. So what, are we rewriting history now?
No, I'm just saying it's happened before. Were you so fucking bent out of shape when it happened before?
I'm bent out of shape. Because of this fucking idiot. I have to be calm because you guys are getting loud. I need to take it down a couple notches.
Well, you should.
It's not the title change in and of itself. It's the fact that people out there don't look at the other side of the coin and go, oh, you know what? You're right. That is a possibility. They're all quick to fucking like, these are the same people that go, you need to fucking, it's wrestling. You need to suspend your disbelief. It's completely possible. Like you said, the story's been great. That's all well and good. But if somebody says, Why can't he just go after the Knockouts title now? Oh, fucking being a misogynist and fucking beating up women, and all of a sudden it's a bad thing? It's like, come on, dude. There's been intergender wrestling for the past decade or more at this point.
All right.
And every woman that blinks twice deserves to get punched in the face.
Wow. Really, dude?
What?
That's fucking awful.
All right. If you're commenting on the...
And I did. That's what I'm commenting on. Look, I don't like the fact that she won, but whatever. It's their company. They're going to fucking do whatever they want to do.
But your story was
okay,
so
here's
good.
Another problem, though, that I have
here
with
we
this.
Go.
With your statement, you don't like the fact that she won. You didn't see it.
Okay.
It was done. The whole match was essentially...
I'm sure it was fantastic. I'm sure Dave Meltzer would give it 20 stars in the fucking Metrodome or whatever the fucking place it is. But the bottom line is,
that's in Minnesota, isn't
it? Like, I'm fucking stuck on where do you go from here? Now you have a woman's champion.
They go wherever they want to go.
And how much does she even weigh?
Who cares how much she weighs?
How many apartment buildings does she own?
It's not 205 Live, Tony.
No, but...
How much does that guy weigh?
But...
It doesn't matter.
It matters.
It doesn't matter. So you're upset that Rio is the AEW Women's Champion when she doesn't even weigh 100 pounds soaking wet?
No, there's something really fucking mysterious about her.
Oh,
I'm
that's
all
okay.
in on Rio,
She's
dude.
She's mysterious. But Tessa Blanchard, the daughter of Magnum TA and the Blanchard family wrestling bloodline, you have a problem with her because she weighs 125 pounds.
My two dads.
She's the stepfather.
She's Magnum's
daughter.
No, she's Tully's daughter.
Tully's kid, but Magnum's the stepfather.
Yeah, it's my two dads. Remember that show?
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Thanks for
so that's
that
your
out.
Prop. So now where do they go? Well, guess what? Eddie Edwards won. He keeps his fucking trophy. Maybe Eddie Edwards and Tessa Blanchard could have a really good match. I know that you live in this world where you are not into a lot of the independent wrestling promotions, but there's a lot of great women who have great matches against men that blow some of these other fucking guys out of the water. So when you get a talent like Tessa Blanchard and you have people like Eddie Edwards and Michael Elgin and even Brian Cage, who they had an awesome match with, and Sami Callihan. Who says the Sami Callihan story's not over yet?
Okay. So then...
Sami can win it back.
So then why should women aspire to become a women's champion when they can become
they
a
shouldn't.
World champion?
They should no, aspire no, they should. To become a world champion.
Then why do we have women's championships? If you want to go woke, go completely woke
all right,
and get rid of all the fucking women's titles.
Again, I'm gonna fucking
make
hit
them
you
all
with
fucking all
Look
titles.
Oh my God, I wish
because
we were on Bevo right now.
Because 20 years ago... That's how it was. It was
then
it
we
was,
should have
it was
a fucking,
separated.
Then we should have a title for title match at WrestleMania.
Tony.
We should have Brock Lesnar against Becky Lynch.
Tony.
And we should have fucking Foot against whoever the other fucking champion is, because I don't even know. Is it Kofi anymore? Who's the other champion?
The Fiend.
Okay. The Fiend against the fucking Foot. That fucking book it, please.
Oh my God, you're
please.
So hateful.
I'm not hateful. You're I just like, want consistency.
It's wrestling!
What? Wait, what's not consistent about the Tessa Blanchard story?
I'm not saying it's not consistent, but make it consistent across the
but
board.
Why does it have to be consistent across the board?
Because it has to make sense.
So, because Joey Ryan does a dick
not
flip,
if,
we
not
have
if
to
it
see
don't
a
make
dick
dollars.
Flip on WWE
no,
or
no,
NJPW?
No, no, no. No, you're missing the forest for the trees. I'm just saying, if you're a woman... And a woman won the world championship. Why would any other woman want to fuck around with a woman's championship and just go after the men? Why don't they do it?
Maybe that's the direction they're going. Maybe they're just going to break those gender barriers.
Oh, I hope they fucking do. I hope they do.
I think you had a once.
I'd love to see Charlotte Flair put the figure eight on fucking AJ Styles.
I'm glad somebody would.
I think Impact.
I'd love to see Nyla Rose beat the shit out of fucking Brock Lesnar. I want to see it all, dude. I want to see it all.
Well, they work for two different companies, Tony.
If you're going to be
Captain Literal, man.
Because Matt says everybody should work together. So if everybody's working together, maybe we'll get it.
Now you're going to dive into another whole
that's
conversation.
Fine.
No, let's before... everybody work together. Let's all grab each other's dicks and all do a flip and everybody's fucking hunky-dory, happy, silly.
Listen,
we have one championship.
God,
one championship.
Eventually,
to
Kevin's
going to
get to
nope,
say
nope,
what he
I'm
wants.
Done.
Now you're
I'm
done.
Done. I'm done.
Well, no, I got the European belt. You want me to take it out?
Actually,
no, he's
yes.
One.
Actually, can I see that?
I'm sorry,
Kev.
I'm sorry, Kev. Go ahead.
No, it's over. It's fucking over.
The story they told in that match was fantastic.
I'm sure
yes,
what the
was.
Story bit leading up to it's been fantastic.
It was. Sammy is a man, and he dominated her the whole match.
I'm a man.
The whole match.
Now
it wasn't
you're
like
a man.
It wasn't like it was
He's
this back
man.
And forth. It was literally David versus Goliath, and
Such
they told
a
an amazing
man.
Story.
Yeah, I think they hit on something. And again, like you said, intergender wrestling has been done forever, but they hit on a story that was just so good.
And it only you can't do it with every woman.
Exactly.
It has this as see this as the
no,
problem.
No,
because I could just add it in. Boom, right there.
Yes,
I told
that,
you.
There lies the problem.
No, but I kind of like this.
No, I understand. I understand. It doesn't. It can't. It's not going to work with every woman, though. You have to. Like, this was like the perfect storm. Is she the only one that's capable of this?
Wait, absolutely. Tim Storm was there?
What does Ishii have to do with that?
I said perfect storm. Tim Storm went to fucking Impact now? What was the NWA getting around this weekend?
All right, go ahead.
They were getting around this weekend quite a bit, actually.
This is the most.
I love this fucking show. Hey, Mark Adam Haggerty's joining us at 8 o'clock.
I watched a shitload of fucking wrestling when I came back from vacation.
Well, you had to catch up on a lot. You completely fucking whiffed on all of everything New Japan.
Well,
right?
I do want Matt to continue. With
well, I do too.
Do you? Do we even remember
what?
What you were leading to something? It won't work with every woman.
It doesn't work with every woman. Yeah. You have to this and for Impact to do what they did.
You mean to tell me it wouldn't work with Jordynne Grace?
Jesus Christ!
No,
interrupt this, Tonus.
That's why Jordynne Grace didn't win, and that's why you fucking lost that match.
Well,
stupid.
Kevin did too.
Yeah, but Kevin had a great outing at Impact. You. Eat a fucking turd sandwich, my friend.
Oh, wait, Tonus Interruptus over here.
We want to do this now?
What do you think Tony went at Impact?
Wait, how many matches were there?
There were seven.
I went two
because,
and five.
Hold on. Yes, you're right.
Correct.
He goes, how come I didn't win the Rob Van Dam match? I picked him. Because there wasn't a fucking match with him. That's why.
Correct.
You think I would have picked Daga over fucking Rob Van Dam? No. Yeah.
That's the fiance of the world champion, yeah. Tony.
Yeah, well, he fucking got pinned and his shoulders were up. It was fucking awful.
Oh, that's been happening a lot lately. It's not just Impact, bro. I've seen it on AEW. I've seen it on fucking NWA. I've seen it a lot of places lately.
Keep them shoulders down, kids.
It's bad. And the fucking referee's got to be mindful of that shit.
I'll tell you right now, it's getting, to me, and I watch Wrestle Kingdom, too. It's getting harder.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, six-man tag match,
everything.
Right?
A lot all across the
I
board.
I think it even happened in the Jay White match at one time when fucking what's-his-name hit, what the fuck? Somebody hit something on him, and when he went for the cover, his fucking shoulder, his right shoulder was completely off the mat.
It
I was like,
looks
really?
To me now, for some reason, that referees don't even know.
They don't
when
care.
The
they don't even fucking look.
It's going to be over. But you could tell, like, in New Japan, I notice this a lot.
Red Shoes does it a lot.
He one, two, and then he.
Red
they,
Shoes
they
is.
Stay up there
fucking,
a little longer.
He's doing some Earl Hebner shit lately, and it's getting really bad. Really bad. You can completely tell the match isn't going to end when he's fucking calling when he's going for a pin.
And not as bad as that fucking AAA thing I watched.
Oh, they're dog shit. I can only imagine what you saw.
And what did I watch? I think it was TakeOver UK where there was a count out, and it was literally like he was on nine, and then literally took like
stall?
4 seconds to get the 10. And I forget. I honestly forget.
Well, if you notice watching New Japan. They, once they get to like 13 or 14, they slow the cadence down significantly.
Which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's been done forever.
Yeah, but if you're going to burn all the way to 9 at a certain pace, you can't really hold 10 that long.
Dude, that builds the drama. I totally accept that.
Nah. No, if you space them out and like 7.
No, but you have to because then it'll take forever.
Eight. No, but that's what they do in New Japan once they get to like 15. They really slow down those last
couple
of counts.
That's because it's a 20 count.
Yeah, but that's
you need
a long
that 20.
Ass, that's a long ass time too.
If you like, you watching everything, the WWE everything. It's really like consistent up to 5, and then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are slower and slower. And I totally get that. That's
unless it's a definite count out, then they just
yeah.
Fucking,
unless they know it's,
with the telegraphing
yeah.
that shit. Whew, I feel better now.
You
thank
feel
you
better?
Guys. Yeah, I do
all
feel
right, well,
better.
We'll stay in the hard to kill area. Me and Kevin went 5-2. You
oh,
went
wait,
2
wait.
And 5.
Do you want the music?
I mean, if you want to
well,
play
wanna,
the music.
I want to actually see
we'll talk
what
about it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, hard to kill. Tony died.
Tony went 2-5. I went 5-2. Kevin went 5-2.
Jesus Christ!
Following Kevin and Tony's 4-1 NXT Blackpool takeover.
I am an NXT expert, ain't I, Kevin?
And I shit the bed and went 2-3. So Kevin,
you just picked everything that I picked, Tony.
Kevin's sitting pretty, one game up.
That's it. After all that, only one game.
Only one game.
Yeah, Matt had a bit of a lead there.
Yeah. And Tony's 5 games.
I'm gonna go.
Hey, don't laugh. That was you about a month ago.
Yeah, but he's only got 2 pay-per-views left.
Oh, we do. We were calling 2. Is this what we decided?
I thought we were doing NWA Hard Times and the Worlds Collide.
We could do Worlds Collide. That's
and
fine
you,
by me.
Fuck you, Tony.
Fuck me
for fucking talking me out of changing my fucking Tony Storm pick, you piece of shit.
Why?
Why? but Kylie Rae's hurt. You should stick with her.
No, I told you. I said that you had to talk to Kevin because Kevin's the stickler for fucking changing.
Yeah, but he didn't. You were like, oh yeah, but
and then once
I
you
decide, know,
Tony, and once you decided to go back to Toni Storm, I
couldn't
like,
go back.
Right,
yeah,
I'm not chiming in now.
And I didn't like what they did with Toni Storm on NXT. That's why I wanted to change my pick. But Tony's like, but Kylie Rae's hurt. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll just stick with my pick then.
That's right. That was me. Kylie Rae was hurt going into that match.
She was.
She's still the fucking
not Kylie
champion.
Rae. Kaylee Rae.
Whatever. It's all the fucking same.
Smiley Kylie is not the same as Kaylee.
They might as well
Kyrie
be the same.
Dumbass. Yes, Kyrie Insane.
So, Impact's hard to kill. I went over to Dark Helmet's house last night.
Did you rub it?
I did.
Ooh.
Very much.
That live show wouldn't have happened without him.
Well,
right. Kate the Great was there as well.
Party.
The live show probably wouldn't have happened without her either.
There were a couple fucking stinkers. I'm not going to lie. I did not enjoy the catch.
Did Kate have the beans again?
She did.
Oh my God.
She did. It was like fucking Queef City, USA.
You animals. You goddamn heathens. You guys are fucking.
In your face.
That's right.
How dare you?
I can't find these sounds anymore.
My.
Matt, I missed you last week.
I miss being here. Because I was on the fucking plane ride from hell on the way back.
What, Michael Hayes cut off your ponytail? And
no, the fucking Rhiannon's brother in front of me didn't know how to cover his fucking mouth while he was playing his Game Boy. And then the fat kid in the row next to me threw up all over the fucking floor.
Did Kurt Hennig and Brock Lesnar get into a wrestling match on
I fucking much would have rather had that. Yeah, exactly. All over.
Wait, what? Was Brock and Vince? Who was it that got into the wrestling match?
I thought it was Brock and Kurt, no?
It may have been.
I don't know. Anywho, Ken Shamrock and Madman Fulton was fucking garbage.
Why did Ken Shamrock win this match?
I don't know.
What is the point of this?
I haven't the slightest idea. First of all, Ken Shamrock looks amazing.
Yeah, he does.
Amazing.
Greek God.
But I don't understand why he didn't need a win. Doesn't do anything.
No, absolutely not. And that's why I went. That's why I went with Madman Pondo.
That's why I did Madman Fulton too. Kevin took Ken Shamrock for who fucking knows why.
Well, Kevin knew better than us.
I'll tell you why. Because
you had two of those fucking giant Bud Lights and you didn't give a fuck.
No,
that's probably what would be best. If
Dude,
we just
he
didn't
made
give
his
a
pick
shit.
And he smashed the cans over his head and he fucking threw them down his throat. He's like give me another fucking beer.
They don't have Ken Shamrock there for no reason. So this is gonna lead to something. So. Ken Shamrock, I think, needed a win over the big man, and then maybe someone beats him. Maybe he gets it back. I don't know. To me, it just felt like, why have Ken Shamrock here if he's just going to lose all the time?
I don't know. So you could build, you know, Madman Fulton beat Ken Shamrock last week. So now instead of maybe being the fucking guy from NXT.
Wait. Time out. So the only matches I got right are the matches we all got right?
Yes.
Fuck this shit. I'm done. I ain't doing this shit next year. I'll be a referee. I'll pick the pay-per-views that we're going to pick, but I don't want to
do
this.
No, you're in.
If you're not in, then you're not in.
No, I'll be in charge of the, of like, I'll
no,
be like
me,
the...
Because me and Matt will just overrule you and be like, we want to pick what we want to pick.
But you're in. You're
I
in,
don't yeah. want to yeah. be in. I hate it's, this.
Why Listen, do you hate picks so much?
It's so fucking draining.
You know why
like
he
I'm,
hates picks because he invests so much in it and he actually watches these shows.
No. Here's why I don't like picks.
I don't think that's
it's
true
like,
at all.
It's like watching the NFL. You guys do fantasy football, right?
That's
or at
correct.
Least you've done. So like you're watching games and you're not rooting for who you want to win. You want to make sure that X, Y, and Z fucking get you 300 points.
So if there were no picks, yes. you wouldn't watch these shows?
No, I feel like I have to fucking invest so much more in them. And instead of just sitting back and getting a chance to fucking enjoy
but
them.
It's not that serious.
It's really not that big a deal.
No, because I don't know what you jackoffs are going to make me do now next
well,
week.
Half the things you guys are going to make me do, I'm not going to do.
You can see that's.
I'll tell you what I think the loser should do.
Oh shit,
Dan Moff chops.
Really?
Who, well,
physical
I've done
pain.
Him. He's done him. Tony hasn't done
physical
him.
Physical pain? You're a fucking pro wrestler. Shut up.
I don't want to fucking take a damn Moff chop.
All right, we'll find another wrestler to chop you.
How about Mark Adam Haggerty?
How about Tessa Blanchard? She'll spit in your face before she does it.
Why? Do I look dark to you?
A couple Danny Moff chops, you will.
Like he just came back from the Caribbean.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. We're not. Look. We're not going to put each other in harm's way. It's going to be something fun.
Oh, no, sure. Yeah, it'll be real fun for me.
Oh, Danny Rusinello came into the restaurant Saturday night. He is more than willing to come down, do the show, and do the Burner Bliss chocolates.
Ooh.
No fear. No Ooh. Fear.
All right.
Cool. What are you making faces for? You need the fucking chocolate.
Yeah, you
no,
didn't
that's
try
great
one.
For him. I just don't understand what that does for us.
What do you mean?
In terms of the competition.
Fucking
what
awesome.
Competition?
The picks. How does
oh,
that
it has nothing
to
do with the competition.
But we don't have to eat it. We'll figure out the fucking what the losers do. You gotta relax, man.
It's all right, man.
No one's getting tarred and feathered. Relax.
Frankie said,
well,
relax.
I think I'd rather get tarred. You're going to have feathered. A fucking brain aneurysm over these picks, man. I just think it's fun. It's good fun. Yeah,
and
you're
it's
like,
great
all,
fun.
You have like, you're all into it, which is even more hysterical.
That's why you want me to stay in this.
Yes, because
you just
are
want
so
me to get
invested.
Fucking aggravated.
That's your own fault. Look, I'm not going to lie. I was cheering last night for my picks, but I made those picks based off of the storylines and who I wanted to see win.
Well, good for you, la-di-da-di-doo.
Jesus, so negative.
All right, so fucking Madman Fulton and Ken Shamrock sucked.
Again?
It
still?
Sucked.
Yeah, it sucked.
Okay?
What else sucked?
The fucking women's three-way match sucked bad.
That's why none of those are world champions.
Not a great way to build relationships.
Because ODB.
Oh.
She shouldn't have been in that match.
She had a decent match with Thunder Rosa on the
yeah,
old
that's a whole
NWA.
Different company, though.
Okay.
Yeah, because fucking Thunder Rosa probably had her working boots on. And
who did ODB?
That she was, wrestled with Jordan Grace and Taya Valkyrie.
That's right.
You should have just done Taya and Jordan. I know there was a storyline where ODB threw Jordan Grace out of the ring and she took the win from her when she pinned the
oh,
champ.
Big deal. Did she grab her vagina and her tits a lot?
Maybe.
My badge. I can't, dude.
Oh, he can't.
I'm deflated
the fucking
now.
King of the soundboard can't press
I'm
the
deflated.
Fucking buttons.
Mark Adam Haggerty will be
so
joining us at 8 o'clock
I can't
tonight.
Say anything, actually.
If you're listening to us on The Rant, thank you very much for tuning in live.
And the reign that Ty has been on, you have to find a suitable woman to take the title for.
Tessa Blanchard.
I really thought it was Jordan, to be honest.
Tessa Blanchard is in another fucking league, bro.
No, she's not. She's in Impact.
No.
They're not all. Not everybody's working in harmony yet, especially with her attitude. A lot of people don't want her in their locker room.
I fucking hate you.
Yikes.
And then the fucking hold, the Rob Van Dam. Look, you know Mark's going to be here in like 25 minutes. And then we're
yeah,
gonna-
and you're talking about Ken Shamrock for the past 10 minutes.
I'm talking about the fucking Hard to Kill pay-per-view, you dick brain.
Yeah, Ken Shamrock.
The one where you went 2-5 and then you said, why didn't I get the Rob Van Dam win? Because him and Brian Cage didn't have an official match.
Why didn't they have a match?
Because he fucking attacked them and he hurt them and they just said, no contest, and then fucking Daga came out.
Who's Daga?
Exactly. Exactly, dude. And I'm like, if I knew it was going to be Rob Van Dam against Daga, I would have taken Rob Van Dam.
You had to cancel that. You had to.
Had to. Yeah. I don't lose because fucking Brian Cage came out, wrestled for 3 minutes, and then left.
Did you have Brian Cage?
Yeah. Why do I have to lose? Because he's not in the match.
I had RVD, I think.
Yes,
so,
you did. You
so
both did.
I had no problem with that.
This fucking piece of shit over here.
What did I do?
I want the win. I need the picks.
I need the picks. I'm down 5 fucking matches.
Yeah, well, tough shit, stupid. You shouldn't have made dumb picks.
All right, let's talk about another stupid match. Let's talk about fucking...
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about Moose for 20 minutes, can
Moose,
we?
Dude, Moose was awesome. Moose came out, he had this Macho Man Randy Savage colors on.
I love that.
Him and Rhino put on a great match. I think Moose is one of the unsung heroes of Impact Wrestling.
And the fact that he chooses to stay there is... Because remember, he went from ROH to Impact.
Right.
And he could have gotten probably a lot of different places.
Dude, you forget, like, right when that kind of weird thing where Jeff Jarrett was out and all those new guys came in and Shane Helms was booking and everything, like, Moose had a fucking banger with John Morrison in the main event.
He's good, man.
He's really fucking good. And I kind of, like, here's the thing, like, what's the difference between Rhino and Ken Shamrock?
Rhino could probably work better than Ken Shamrock. Probably.
But, like, Rhino... In the same vein that we're like, Ken Shamrock doesn't need a win, like, Rhino doesn't need a win.
But Rhino probably has still more passion and still has more longevity in his wrestling career than Ken Shamrock does.
I mean, they got Ken Shamrock to wrestle not in his jeans, so that's a good thing.
That's a big plus.
Rhino doesn't seem hung up on wins and losses, that's why. That's what it is.
No, you might be right about
and
that.
I don't think it would matter one way or the other if he's hung up on
who
wins
did,
and
no,
losses.
No, like Ken Shamrock might be hung up on like wins and losses.
I don't think Ken Shamrock also lost at the last pay-per-view, didn't he? Didn't he have a big loss last time?
Oh, he wrestled Moose. He lost to Moose.
And you know what? Moose
and it
does,
was bad.
But Moose does not lose to like guys that come in to make the other guys look better.
He's beaten Rob Van Dam, Ken Shamrock, and now Rhino the last three times.
Yep.
They're building them up.
Maybe he'll beat Tessa Blanchard for the
fucking spear the shit out of her.
Moose.
How do you feel about that?
Moose.
Oh, I'm a big Moose guy.
I love Moose.
I thought we all hated him when he was wearing like the fucking white suit and everything. Everybody's calling him douche.
Well, yeah, that's
because he was a heel.
That's
he
a good
douche. The Aus
Austin. Oof, yes,
Jesus.
The Aus Austin match.
The Ace Austin Trey Miguel match was great.
Trey Miguel's mother, the lady who plays it, looks like fucking Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Maybe it was.
The fucking HD did her no favors.
Maybe it was Greg.
But Ace Austin beat him, and then he tried to, like, advance on her after the match, so nice. I don't think this feud is done.
Oh, fucking gross.
Eddie Edwards and Michael Elgin had a slammer of a match.
It wasn't a banger?
I wasn't going to use it again because I know it aggravates you, and I know you're a little fucking fired up. So
yeah, a little bit.
I'm trying to pump the brakes. I don't need Mark walking in here while you're having fucking roid rage.
At least he's wearing socks tonight.
Yeah.
I did this for you.
No, you did it for the guest, probably.
No, I did it for you. I don't give a fuck.
I mean, look. If it was my house, I wouldn't give a fuck about anybody either.
True.
To be perfectly honest with you.
Fair.
You lost that one, too. You took Michael Elgin.
Oh, did I? Really? Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, pal.
We all lost the Swan-Willie Mack match because Rich Swan was hurt the night before. And it pretty much fits into the storyline where Willie Mack was hurt and Rich Swan took on the North. And now we're getting vice versa.
That was an angle? I thought it was actually legit hurt.
I'm pretty sure it's an angle.
Wait, so was this match 2-on-1?
It was.
Then why did this match count?
Okay, what do you want to go, 2-4? You're still fucking 5 games back.
2-4 helps, doesn't it?
I mean, we all had the same pick, yeah, so we all lost the match.
I don't give a fuck. I hate this fucking whole thing. I hate this whole fucking pick thing. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. You wanted to do this for Turnbuckle Throwback? Shut your
No, I didn't want to do this.
That was
the only guy who actually supports us on Patreon, the new guy, which is why Jay fucking rules the Turnbuckle Throwback. He wanted to do this. Not fucking Hot Dog Fingers. Not fucking Crow's Feet.
Talon Toes.
Yeah, no. Why would they support us? Why would anyone on the Shining Wizards Network support their fucking brethren?
Because we got supporters on the network.
You don't have a dollar. No, from the network? Who? Besides Jay.
Corrine.
And Corrine. She's not really part of the Radioactive Metal. And what's wrong with Snowy? You can't figure out how to sign up for a fucking Patreon?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
It took me like a year and a half.
Yeah, I was very surprised to see you signed up for Patreon. Anyway, neither here nor there. And then Tessa, she beat Sammy. I thought it was a great pay-per-view. Those 3 matches were kind of stinkers, but you kind of need that to break it up. You can't have, like, banger after banger after banger.
Oh. Yeah, God forbid every match is great.
Y'all can't beat New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I'm with Tony on that one. I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not,
dude? That was a weird thing to say.
It's just a weird, like...
No one goes out there and intentionally has a
bad
match. No,
but you know, like, you look at Ken Shamrock and Mad Men Fulton, and on paper, it's like, this might be a really good match. And then you see them get
about Ken Shamrock again.
In the ring. Dude, it just didn't work. These 2 guys didn't work together.
You're obsessed with Ken Shamrock.
It was a bad match.
And so is Impact, apparently. I don't know why they are. They have him wrestle every single pay-per-view or every single show.
I mean, he's a name.
I'd rather have Fala on that show.
Yeah, Fala's
a lot of people were pissed off about that, too. No Fala, no TJP. They would have been perfect.
No Joey Ryan, no Johnny Swinger.
I didn't hear a lot of people crying about those two, but a lot of people.
This week on Impact.
Dude, a lot of people, though, were like, why is Fala Ba not on this show? A lot of people. It doesn't make sense. He's never on the pay-per-views. It just doesn't make sense.
Especially when you invest so much time in him on TV.
And he's got such a fucking amazing character, too.
Well, maybe we're building to that.
I hope so.
Maybe he's going to challenge Tessa.
Or maybe he fucking beats Ken Shamrock, and maybe he beats Rhino. Maybe he builds his way up.
There we go.
The sad thing is with him, though, it'll just be like a battle royal or like a multi-person match.
Oh, God. The winner becomes the number one contender.
I'm not predicting anything, Tony. Holy shit. I'm just saying that's...
That's how Eddie Edwards became the number one contender. He won that battle royal at the last pay-per-view.
And that's how Fala will probably get on TV, on pay-per-views now, which is sad because he's so good.
They did announce during the show that the next Impact pay-per-view will be held in
New York City, baby,
at Terminal 5 in April. So that's pretty exciting.
And that's not like Queens. That's not like Brooklyn. That's New York City.
Yeah, it's Terminal 5. It's a fucking shithole, the area around it.
Okay, terrific.
What am I thinking of?
No. Terminal 5 is in New York City, but it's not like...
It's not like Midtown Manhattan.
What is it, Uptown?
Well, I don't know. I'd be lying to you if I could tell you exactly where it was.
Cool. While you guys are talking amongst yourselves.
I definitely thought I'd been there before. Unless I'm thinking of something else.
No, you may have been. I don't know. You watched NXT Blackpool Takeover 2.
Live. Loved it.
What match were you holy shitting where your neighbor told you to shut up?
Tyler Bate, Jordan Devlin.
Jordan Devlin.
Actually, this isn't a bad neighborhood at all.
Oh, my apologies. It's in Hell's Kitchen.
It's on 11th Avenue and 56th Street. That's actually a pretty decent neighborhood.
It's not bad at all.
It's by
the
cruise terminals.
I'm thinking of the wrong venue myself.
Well, maybe you are. It actually looks like a pretty spectacular place.
Terminal 5 is great. That's what I thought.
It looks like they could hold a fucking couple thousand people in this place. This is pretty nice.
I didn't like the way it's set up for Ring of Honor.
3,000 people.
Ring of Honor ran a bunch of shows there. I didn't like the setup.
What's the place that we went to? Did you go years ago with Phil? It was like a Sunday afternoon.
The Shikara show?
The Cibernetico or whatever it was called. Yeah, you were there, right?
I like that place a lot.
That place is fun. It's got like the rafters. You can fucking watch and shit.
Yeah,
that was a good show.
We were on the stage where they came out.
Yep. That was a good
time.
Ring
of Honor against Shikara.
Yes, it was good times. We saw Eddie Kingston. We saw fucking Kevin Steen.
The Briscoes.
Steen. Yes. A lot of good fucking talents on it. Mr. Touchdown was there too, wasn't he?
I think 1-2-3 Kid was in like a six-man tag match too.
I think so, yes. Yeah.
And was it King of Trios? Or no?
It was just a six-man. Just a six-man.
Because the main event was the Cibernetico match. It's like 7-on-7. Where they
10-on-10.
10-on-10, they all line up.
1-2-3 Kid gear though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, I remember that actually.
NXT Blackpool Takeover. I did not get to see this. One of the few things I didn't get to watch this week, but I ate my dick on this. I went 2-3 while you guys went 4-1. The only match you guys lost was the tag team ladder match where we all took Imperium.
Well, I think the feeling was it would have been cool having like all these guys holding up the titles when they have the Worlds Collide whatever thing.
Yeah, and then I thought, agreeing with that logic, but then I was like, wait a second, there's 4 Imperium and only 3 of them would have belts. So I was like, whereas opposed to Undisputed Era, all 4 of them have belts.
They all got the gold.
Well, the other guy who didn't have a belt could have fucking beat up Kaylee Ray and took her title, and then would have been all even Stevens.
There you go.
Fucking A.
Dude, back to Tony's point.
Equality, baby.
This is probably the first show. Like, it was noon. I happened to wake up. I was like, all right, I'll wake up at noon.
Oh, good. I'm glad you woke up.
Thanks.
Kevin lived to see another day.
That's it. And, dude, this show was phenomenal. Like, I don't watch NXT UK, but I watched that Prime Target show, which was like the special preview show, which if you don't watch the product, if they do these again, just watch that show, you get caught up.
Yeah, I heard that was fantastic.
Immediately.
A lot of people really liked the fact that they did that.
And I can't imagine them not doing it, not only for NXT UK, but for everything. So it was that Jordan Devlin, Tyler Bate is probably the odds on favorite to most people you talk to as match of the night. I really love the triple threat women's match. Tony Storm, Piper Niven. Aaron Neville.
I don't do. Yeah, that's.
Piper Niven.
No, Piper. Piper Niven. And,
so it was better than the Impact Triple Threat Women's title match?
I would assume so.
Okay.
It was great. It was super fun. It was nothing crazy like a triple threat match should be. I mean, it ended with, Piper hitting the finish or Tony hitting the finish and then Kaylee Ray super kicking her and then just stealing the pin. Super fun. Again, nothing too out of the ordinary, nothing out of the box for a triple threat match. That was probably my favorite match on the show, other than Tyler Bate and Jordan Devlin. And it was weird about that show is that you got a lot of dessert before you had your meat and potatoes with Joe Coffey and Walter, which was just an old school hard hitting meat and potatoes wrestling match. Super fun. I could see people getting let down after what. They followed, I think, the ladder match. So
okay.
So, but it was a totally different style match. And then you got the big payoff at the end with Undisputed Era hitting the ring. And by the crowd's reaction, I thought it was going to be something different. I thought it was going to be like maybe like some new people debuting. But with Worlds Collide coming up and they don't get a chance to see Undisputed Era all that often
live.
So the crowd popped huge for that. So that was – I'm telling you right now, it was – I mean, even like the matches like – like Trent Seven, Eddie Dennis, which Eddie Dennis reminds me of Baron Corbin.
Okay.
Tall, lanky guy with.
Was he out? Was he asleep?
I wasn't asleep. I was listening. I heard Eddie Dennis is like a lanky Baron Corbin, and he just shut up. Could you keep your thought going? Come on, man.
There's not a whole lot of energy here right now, so.
I got tons of energy for you, buddy. What do you need?
As you put your feet up and sit back.
I didn't watch the show. That's one of the few shows I didn't watch.
I'm not going to go through match by match because we have a lot to get to.
There's only 5 of them. We covered half of them.
They were
all super fun.
Well, I don't like.
Was it like Wrestle
I'm not
Kingdom?
A fucking troll and fucking comments about, oh, this is a good worker. This is this and that. I don't fucking do that shit anymore.
Easy, Snowflake.
I enjoy. Yeah. Fucking message board troll.
Holy shit. I did throw Tony under the bus on Twitter. Killed me.
Because there was those reports that WWE was looking at Jay White. So I put up like reports, hey, WWE is looking at Jay White. Would you want him to go to WWE? And then people comment. And then the other night, Tony's like, I don't think so. And I was like, you're a fucking bitch.
No, no, no. I didn't say I don't think so. I said he doesn't respect risk control, and he's fucking awful. And then you were like, oh, don't sugarcoat it. Fucking say what you mean.
Don't be PC. You fucking say it. You fucking hate Jay White.
I said it. I put hashtag FJW. Fuck Jay White.
FJW could be in a variety of things.
Oh, when I'm talking about Jay Wright. Jay Wright. Yeah, huh, Jay Wright.
Free Jewish women. Free Jewish
women.
Free Jewosaurus.
Free Jewosaurus.
Jesus Christ. Oof. Mark Adam Haggerty joining us at 8 o'clock.
Is it time for a commercial yet?
No.
It's
no.
not.
Okay. Yeah. Back after
this in 20 minutes.
Holy Christ.
So you said you watched clips of AEW?
I watched most of AEW. I didn't catch the middle part. I must have fell asleep at some point.
Was the middle part with the Collective Nightmare? Because that's fucking
No, I actually,
bad.
I missed. I apparently Lanny Poffo was on the show.
Yeah.
And they were doing like some sort of Memphis thing, I guess.
I think that's for Dark tomorrow
night. That was Dark.
No, but there was something that happened in the middle of the show that I didn't catch. I caught the Statlander match.
Right. And then, which was fine until the fucking Collective Nightmare. Like, look.
Brandy, the Nightmare, the broads that came out, the shaved head one, and fucking Awesome Kong, or whatever they're calling her now, that
was bad.
Shit. It was. And you know what? Rio and Statlander were a little rough to start. They got really good, though. They found their flow. Yeah, but after a while, it's like, all right, then Statlander jumps on him. Then Rio jumps on him. And then they get beat up for like 20 minutes. And then finally, all these other women come out. And then for some odd reason, Sonny Kiss is out there with them. I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense on no level.
Once the Collective Nightmare got involved, and I don't know where the referee was, it really bothered me.
And fucking Brandy on commentary was dog shit, dude. She was talking, but she was terrible.
What about that Dr. Luther guy?
Dr. Luther's the man.
Yeah, what the? And
well,
everybody's.
No, all right, no, I'm going to disagree with you on this, man.
They're talking about him like everybody knows who he is. Nobody fucking.
I guess I'm not going to disagree with you.
They've once again. Look, because I was a huge Death Mark. Like, I knew who he was, but I'm in a very small percentile of people who knew who he was. Like, that's
a
something
terrible
that
assumption.
AEW. Like, they did the same thing with The Butcher and The Blade. Like,
Jim
kinda,
fucking Jim Ross still doesn't know who's who.
You kind of got to get... That's where you need, like, the vignettes.
Yeah.
Right.
You need those.
And you can't bring out somebody like a Dr. Luther as a surprise because he's a who-gives-a-shit surprise.
Exactly.
He so really is.
I'm all for AEW giving guys a chance and giving them this platform. But at the same time, like... You got to look like, I mean, I don't know who I don't know. Matt is right. I don't know who he is.
Dr. Lucifer Chaser.
But come on, you got to, like, he looks like. Why
terrible.
Are you, why
it was
are
terrible.
You, why are you on TNT? Why and, are you on my TV right now?
And why are they getting the women involved in this? Is, like, Awesome Kong part of this collective? Like, is she? So, like.
Wow. Sorry.
No, because
she
I,
is. She's the main part of it.
But why? Right? Like, why is she involved? Yeah. It's like Player Uno and the other guy, the Viking-looking guy.
Those are different stables.
They're not part of that whole thing?
No. The Dark Order and the Collective are different.
They're different things? What did I miss?
But listen, you're not
what
wrong.
What did I miss?
You're not wrong in the fact that there's so many weird little dark little contingents on the
so
show.
So the Collective, is that's just Brandy?
That's Brandy.
Then what about these idiots with the masks? That's nothing to do with them?
No, that's Player Uno.
Oh, dude, AEW just took a big shit on my fucking fandom, dude. I don't understand it. I'm fucking lost now.
Listen, I think you're taking it a little too extreme.
I'm lost, though, dude.
But I think that they gotta, like, listen. A lot of their signings have been great. Chris Statlander, amazing talent. Reynolds, Silver, amazing.
And they're stuck in that group too now.
Yeah, well, that's fine. What else are you going to, like...
All right, you just said it. What else are you going to do with them? There's a lot of guys. It's like, what else are you going to do? How
you
many
can't
fucking...
But you can't push that. This is a good role for them.
No, I get it, though. But how many times a week are we going to see, like, QT Marshall lose? How many times are we going to see fucking Best Friends come out and lose? Like, it's weird. Like, I see Best Friends come out. I go, all right, I guess Kenny Omega and Adam Page are going to pull out a win somehow. It's not fair to those guys. They keep bringing them out every week, and it's like now they're the job squad. It's just really weird.
I agree with your point that there's definitely a gap.
A huge gap.
A gap between the guys that win and the guys that lose.
Yeah.
Because the guys that lose seem to lose all the time.
And it's weird because like you put somebody like, who was it? Cody teamed up with QT a couple weeks ago.
Against the Inner Circle?
I forget who it was. It was who, and then they wound up going Cody. Who was it? It was Cody and Dustin the next week. No, it was Cody and who came out to save him?
fuck, who came out to say? Oh, Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Then when they teamed up,
Cody and Darby. No,
it was Butcher and Blade. They wrestled. They wrestled Butcher and Blade. It was Cody and QT Marshall. Yeah. And then QT ate the pin.
Who will
and Darby
be
Allin,
Russell Pro debut?
And Darby Allin came out and helped out Cody. So it's like, all right, you're going to give Cody a loss just because he's in a team with QT? Like, it doesn't, it's weird. It's really strange booking. I don't get it.
You're not wrong. And you know who's behind it, from what I've read, is that it's Tony Khan is like the head of creative.
So he's in charge of all this?
From what I've read.
I don't know, man. It just seems really strange. I thought the Dark Order and the Collective were all the same group. Like, why are all these people out here?
Nah.
So on the heel side, follow this. We've got the Dark Order, we've got the Collective, and we've got the Inner Circle.
And you got, like, the Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny.
Yeah, but that's really just a tag team. They're not.
But they're still, like, evil and dark.
Yeah, but they're just a tag team with a female valet. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not a group. But there's three heel groups. It's like, why do you need so many heel groups? Oh, and then there's the Elite. Well, there you go.
Well, I mean, I
it's like the Laugh Olympics. They have to have everybody on some sort of team. It's weird.
I love the Elite Inner Circle stuff, so I'm not going to even complain about that.
No, but it's just, why do we have, like, all these heel stables, you know? Like, I don't...
Because I think you need something to establish. You got to remember, we're still fresh and new into
this.
It's
very new. You're right.
And there's still people that are just tuning in for the first time that have no idea what's going on. Granted, I don't think you should be parading out people like Dr. Luther.
Yeah, well, there you go.
For the first time with no build-up and expecting
because, like,
everyone to know
me
who he is.
And Louis Ramos and Chris Dickinson and maybe Homicide and a very small pocket of people are like, yo, that's FMW Dr. Luther. What is he doing on TV right now?
Yeah, and the rest of them are like, who the fuck is this and what is he doing on TV?
White dude.
What else happened? Let's burn through this real quick. What else happened? I'll tell you what I saw and what I didn't see.
Kenny and Adam Page beat Private
Party.
Saw that.
You could see the tension building, but I think they smooth everything over for now, so they're going to go another week.
Yeah, but
buddies.
They're still doing stuff like they put out that they're doing this big tag team match tomorrow, Wednesday night. And Adam Page was like, oh, look at me. Just looks like they placed me in the back behind Kenny. So they're really like...
Okay. All right. Well, that's
really
fine.
Pushing this.
Adam Page is going to be something special, man. I still feel it with that guy.
I love Adam Page.
I think
he's fantastic.
I think they kind of got him on the back burner since the world title match, but he's going to make his breakout soon. Unfortunately, it's going to be on the heel side, but it is what it is. Keep going. What else
and
happened?
And then after the match, Pac attacked Michael Nakazawa
in
the back.
That was kind of silly. That was kind of dumb. It was just to kind of get under, what's his name, skin? Omega, right?
Kevin just spilled beer all over the place. He's the worst.
Nope. Did he really?
Nope. It was a handshake that went awry.
Oh, you're a hump, dude.
Sammy Guevara beat Christopher Daniels.
Didn't see that. Oh, yeah, I did see that. That was a kind of a shit ending.
And they're doing that weird thing where, like, I feel like they rushed it, where, like, Sammy, like, oh, Christopher Daniels can't hit the moonsault.
It was kind of dumb. And then who came out? Pentagon came out, or Phoenix, and he's like, do it. I was like, really? I'm like, really?
It wasn't
nearly as bad as the women's match, but that took me out of a lot of
and
shit.
And then
dude.
Afterwards, the Dark Order came out and they started attacking Christopher Daniels. And then SCU and the Bucks made the save.
Okay.
Cody and Dustin with Arn beat the Lucha Brothers.
Yo, they made a save and Scorpio Sky did his flip.
Yes.
Right? Why? They got him away. Let him get away, dude. Like, they'll come back. Don't worry about it. Let him powder out. Fucking go. I don't know, man. And from what I saw on AEW this week, a lot of shit stuck in my craw. Keep going.
And then after the match, Shivani went to the ring to talk to Cody to see if he'd respond to MJF's
demands.
Didn't
see that. Okay, I didn't
see that. Cody will not talk about it this week, and he left.
Good
and
for him. Fuck him. Let him wait.
There was
keep
the Lanny
going.
Poffo thing.
I didn't see that.
And then as soon as we came back from commercial break, this is something that bothered a lot of people, and I get why, but you got to fucking...
All right. Spit it out.
Read it.
Come on, Dick. What are you doing?
Suspend your disbelief. MJF comes out to the ring to do a promo, and people are like, oh, they didn't cross in the back. It's like, shut the fuck up. Stop.
Well, it's true.
So MJF and Wardlow came out. That's Tony's guy.
Big Wardlow guy.
And then DDP came out.
That's right.
Oh,
DDP's
God,
like 70.
That's right. He's like 64 now. He's going to wrestle again? I saw this.
Dude, he doesn't look a day over like 45.
He doesn't look
but
like...
he's still old, dude.
That's
fine,
but he looks better than fucking Ric Flair did when he was 64. Ric Flair looks like a
proprietor
candle.
Of DDP Yoga.
I am, but a 65-year-old man getting in a wrestling ring?
You're not the proprietor of DDP Yoga.
When was the last time DDP wrestled? And don't say Royal Rumble, because that doesn't really count for much.
He's still wrestling.
He gave two fucking diamond cutters and he got thrown out. That's hardly a match,
You don't
dude.
Think he filled up his bump card and he doesn't have to fucking do a wrestling match?
Then why is he getting in there with MJF?
Because it's DDP.
Oh,
he's a big name.
Yeah, feel the bang, brother.
I'm really worried about your couch right
because
now.
Because what's going to help further this story with MJF if MJF puts DDP to sleep?
I don't know. Why would he put him to sleep? Is Kevin going to tell him a story?
Yes, Kevin's going to tell him a story. Because DDP's right. in Camp Cody, and if MJF attacks DDP, he's kind of like a father figure. I'm going to fucking punch
you. No, you're not.
I'm, next week, there will be a ball here, and the ball will be on a string, and I will be able to throw it at either one of you
anytime
I want.
Does Jib Duggan figure into this, too?
You watch your mouth about Jib Duggan.
Jib Duggan. I saw Jib Duggan.
You fucking assholes. And then Jurassic Express beat Best Friends and Orange Cassidy.
Of course they did, because Best Friends doesn't fucking win. Let's get to the fucking showdown, what we all came for. Oh, Mox came out. He wanted to join the Inner Circle. That was fucking funny shit, dude.
He took the car.
He was like, yeah, I'm joining. He goes, of course. And they're like, what? Okay. And they celebrated with the bubbly. That was cool. But you know what was funny? Everybody else powders. You knew it was coming. He's like, yeah, you know what? I lied. And he's fucking smashed a bubbly over his head. He went to grab another bottle and hit somebody else, and the bottle shattered
exploded,
in his hand. And it was another one that was on the table that had shattered, too. I couldn't stop laughing.
So wait, did he shatter all of it or just a little bit of it?
All of it.
Okay.
He shattered all of it.
It was like a softball. And he was like, all of it. And he didn't even go, a little bit of the bubbly.
All of the bubbly or just a little bit of the bubbly?
Set you up perfectly.
It was fucking great. That ending was really good. I really enjoyed the ending. It would have been cool to have seen him smash more bottles, but it was what it was.
No, it was good. We got a big show coming up this weekend.
Well,
this Wednesday. They're doing Bash at the Beach, right?
You want to hit NWA Power real quick?
This is pre Jerry Cruz.
Whoa, this? Yes.
Because the Cruz is the next two shows, right?
I think they're doing, I don't know if they're pre-taping it or not.
Oh, they're filming on the Cruz?
I think at least one episode.
That's what I thought they were going to do, but I have no idea. Really.
Oh, real quick before we move on. I don't know if you saw Superhuman open up Being the Elite last week.
I didn't see.
Yeah, he did the fuck this shit, and of course everybody lost their minds. AEW, nothing but a bunch of fucking mud show indie fucking pricks and putting Superhuman on their show as if their show doesn't have any value as it is. And, you know, the same nonsense.
Bro, fuck that noise. That kid?
All right, listen, I know he made a name for himself.
Fucking
good for him.
Bro, just jumping through shit. Good for him.
I'm surprised he's not fucking crippled yet.
Nah, oh, come on.
Jumping on toasters and VCRs and Legos and... Come on, dude.
People we did backyard wrestling for years.
Yeah, but we're not consistently jumping on foreign objects on a
dude,
table.
We were giving each other power bombs. All we knew was tuck your neck. We're lucky none of us are crippled. Fucking, I'd rather jump on a goddamn toaster than have you fucking powerbomb me, you fucking
slob. I was gentle.
Slob.
I was gentle. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Wait, would the toaster be in the bathtub?
Plugged in.
Okay.
Plugged
great.
In. With Let's a fucking, with going. A, with an English muffin ready to pop. So you have a Ooh. Snack while you're on your back.
Right in your nooks and crannies.
There you go.
All right, you want to jump into NWA before
yeah,
we
let's
do
just,
commercial and before
and we'll
we
back
let Mark
guest.
Join us?
Yeah, let's roll it real quick.
All right, NWA Power.
Another great episode, by the way. Another fantastic episode.
What did you take away from NWA Power, Tony? What's
I don't
your...
really remember what was on it.
Oh, God. Really? You want me to read the tweet?
You're the worst.
Oops. I'm the worst? Well, no, I need my recollection refreshed. Here we go. So
no,
here's
but
the. All right, no, shut up. I'm rolling. Shut up.
Okay. Oh,
so
wow.
Tim Storm starts out, and he comes out, and he's talking about Mama Storm, and they you know, they call Nick Aldis a coward, all this and that. And then Camille comes
Ooh,
out.
Love me some Camille.
Boom! Smacks him in his face, dude. And Tim, calm, composed.
Cool.
Like, he was shaking. He wanted to do something, but Mama Storm told him, don't hit a lady. You know? So he didn't hit a woman, you know?
All right. Well,
that was
that,
good.
That's a great takeaway there.
Our buddy, what's his name, was on again, Jake Manning, another commercial for High Spots.
Wow, how was NWA Power? Camille smacked Tim Storm and Jake Manning was in a commercial.
I'm getting through
Hacksaw
it.
Hacksaw Jim Manning?
I'm getting through it. What else happened in the TV tournament?
Ziggy Dice, bro.
That's right.
Yo, can I ask?
Ziggy Dice is growing on me, dude. Growing on me.
He looks, I don't know. When I first saw it, I thought it was a Damian Sandow versus, I'd never seen Ziggy Dice before. I'm sorry.
With all the tattoos.
Yeah. It looks like Sandow with tattoos. Is that on purpose or no?
No,
I don't
think he looks like
just who he is.
Sandow.
He used to be like a really big dude.
Yeah, you could tell. If it wasn't for the tats, you could tell he's a little jiggly.
Like Uncle Fester over here.
Nosferatu?
And then he slimmed down. No, you were Uncle Fester, then you morphed into Nosferatu.
Thanks.
What?
Thanks.
Why? I wish Caleb Connolly can get some dubs.
ODB and
all right. Thunder Rosa. Cool.
Thunder Rosa had a great match.
Way to just completely not respond to anything that I said.
I don't know what he said.
I said Caleb Connolly gets some wins on fucking NWA Power. Why can't he get wins?
Because nobody really likes him. I don't understand why.
All right.
I love Caleb Connolly.
Just shut up.
Really? Did you watch NWA Power?
Yeah, I did.
Well, then why don't you tell me what happened?
He lost to Ziggy fucking...
Was everything super fun?
All right, that's fair. And I can't wait to talk to Mark about this after we get back from the break, about how we talk about wrestling matches and stuff like that, and how we break down the lingo.
The lingo?
All right, so what else happened?
Next week's guest, Joe Galli.
Yes.
Ooh.
He interviewed Aaron Stevens in question mark.
That's right. That
was
awesome.
Fantastic interview.
And they talked about
the third degree NWA National Championship.
Karate.
Who may or may not be Josephus.
No! Shut up! How dare you! Josephus is not from Mongrovia. I will give you the double thrust if you ever suggest that again.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Thunder Rosa beat ODB.
Yes, great match.
Big ODB.
Very surprisingly great match.
Aldis came out. We talked about that.
Yes.
He also buried Ricky Morton during that. He called him a carny, and he called everybody... what's his nuts from the wrestler?
Oh, Randy the Ram. He said the locker room's full of a bunch of Randy the Rams.
Hysterical.
And didn't Ricky Morton come out during his match with Ricky Starks?
Well, afterwards.
Yeah. Yes. They went to a draw, which is brilliant.
That was a good match. Absolutely, yes.
I really enjoyed that, especially because Nick Aldis had such high praise about Ricky Starks and that if he was going to start a promotion, he would start with him.
Here's an aside, something that I noticed during the 605 tournament, right? So every time they put the 605 clock, there's that gold box around the clock.
That's right.
And the gold bar ticks down with the time. Because at one point I look up, I go, why is there only half a gold bar there? That's genius.
Kevin.
That's old school, dude.
Kevin, you make that face, but when I watch the BuzzFeed videos, I just recently figured out that the red lines that run across the box on my Facebook is actually when it's going to run out.
I just love that that's what you take away from a wrestling
show. No, it's a cool thing from the 80s. Like when you watch like old shit, like when you watch like Price is Right from the 80s. They didn't have the big clocks. It was all like just some digital clock superimposed on the screen, and they would show it to
you. How old do you think I am?
How old do you think I am?
Oh, boy.
This is what I grew up with,
Kevin.
Do you
really want us to answer that question?
Seriously, dude.
I mean, you do throw some like way old.
But that's a cool. But that's something you probably never noticed.
The Price is Right in the 90s never had that red little box thing that you're talking about.
How old do you think I am? Like, you think I'm like your age? Like, I'm a lot older than you are, dude.
So, yeah. Probably like 10 years older than you.
Yeah.
Probably.
So I'm giving you some vital information, you know, that you might not have noticed.
Lock it happen in 10 years.
Yeah, there you go.
Lock it happen between now and the end of the night.
Yeah, but they're not going to change the font on the box on The Price is Right.
Alisa Font.
Who was doing The Price is Right when you, was it still
Bob
Barker?
Oh, it was all Bob Barker. Oh. Yeah. No, I know there was, I forget who it was before that. I would know his name if I saw his face, but yeah.
Price is Right used to be super different before Bob Barker got there. So did Jeopardy, too, actually.
Yeah. It's funny. I guess.
Yeah, fucking knee slapper.
I don't know.
And so you can get a great sandwich down at Rutgers, the Degree Trucks.
You motherfuckers.
New Brunswick or Piscataway.
So Ricky Starks goes the time limit, and Ricky Morton comes out and says, give the kid 5 more minutes, and Aldis is like, no. He's like, well, if you don't want to give him 5 minutes, why don't you give me 5 minutes? And Aldis is like, no.
I mean, do you blame him?
No, he's a dick, and it's genius. It's beautiful. That's why I like NWA, dude. That's why there's one show I don't miss any week.
NWA Power. That's the only one?
Hard to Kill? No, not Hard to Kill. Fuck.
Into the... No.
No, no.
Hard Times.
Hard Times, Daddy. Fuck, because we're... You know why.
Eli Drake and James Storms beat Colt Cabana and Ken Anderson by DQ.
Yeah, there's a little dissension going on there with Colt Cabana Anderson.
Colt went to bat for Ken. And
I know, and Ken fucking stuck it to him.
Ken's making him look like a jerk-off.
Yeah, a little bit.
Be honest here.
All right.
Good match. Then, liked it.
Let's see what Tony said about this.
Was it super fun?
See what Tony said about the end of the show here.
Oh, boy.
In a text?
Did I say it bad? Oh, no. This is good.
Shit all over Scott Steiner. It's fantastic.
Oh, yes. Oh, completely. Forgot. Yeah, excuse me. Forgot all about
smart thing to do. Shit on Scott Steiner.
Oh, like he gives a fuck who I am while he's working at Shoney's.
Former guest of the Shining Wizards podcast.
I'll tell you what, when I was in Orlando, we drove by a Shoney's and it was closed and I was so upset. And every time we drove past it, I went, man, I can't believe they closed that fucking Shoney's. My wife's like, what is with you and fucking Shoney's and SeaWorld? I'm like, I don't know.
What's Shoney's?
It's the Scott Steiner restaurant. He owned like a chain of Shoney's in like Atlanta.
Was it Atlanta? I thought it was like Indiana or something like that. I don't know. It was somewhere.
I thought it was like Georgia.
Who cares? What's come on?
All right, now I gotta find it because you sent a bunch of shitty fucking text messages.
Really?
Marcus chomping at the bit to get.
Oh yeah,
come on, dude.
I watched NWA Power, not the new one, right? No, the one with Papa Shits. How dare you besmirch the Big Papa Pump? How dare you?
How dare I?
Yeah.
He's a heel. He just joined the heel faction, strictly business. He's Papa Shits.
He's Scott Steiner.
If he joined Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, I'd be singing his praises.
You fat!
Oh, yeah, I'm on the soundboard.
Yep, that's right. I have to do it myself now.
Speaking of which, Mark Adam Haggerty will be joining us in studio. We got a lot more wrestling to talk. We got a little bit of his career to talk about, too. But
big things.
Kevin, as we always say,
back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Mírame los ojos cuando digas mi nombre. No me confrontes si no eres un hombre.
Really?
What?
What is this?
Let's see if our guest. First of all, before we get into any Patreon or anything like that.
Before we get. No, let's do the Patreons and just get.
Oh, you want to do the Patreons? Fine.
We're going to take this time to thank those that support us over on our Patreon. Patreon.com/Wizards Podcast.
Do you know who this is, by the way?
No.
Los Boricuas.
For as little as $1 a month, you
how
can support
much?
$1.
Woo.
You can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. There you go. I turned my mic off for that. So head over to patreon.com/Wizards Podcast. $1 a month gets you mentioned as an executive producer. $3, you get the executive producer, and you get the watch along that we do monthly. I'll take another one of these seltzers.
Salsa.
I ate like I was going to the electric chair on vacation, so I'm trying to like look bad, dude. Bad. We ordered 8 appetizers at Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett's, and I'm pretty sure all the guys in the kitchen came out just to see how we were going to fit it all on the table.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me whatever.
Weren't
you
the one shitting on us for talking about food for 25 minutes
last week?
Dude, you
talked for food for 12 minutes to open the show last week.
All right, well, keep talking about your fucking
that
Benihana
was like 30
experience.
Seconds, Benihanas.
Whatever, keep going.
What do you know about Benihanas? Anyway, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Kathy Homer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. Manny Crackville, the
yes,
king
Crackville.
Of the Shining Wizards. Cindy Ardone, the smoke show. Anthony and Danny Rusinella, the AOP of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. Mike Martinelli. Ryan Arthur, Dark Helmet himself. You can find his brewery, alimentary.com. That's with an A, not an E. Sean Toe, Sean Callejo, the Seans. Brett Simonello, what do you know? What do you say? Kate Hensler, Kate the Great. On Deck IC is her company. And if you've been paying attention, Kate's got some big wrestling stuff going on. You might want to check on that On Deck Twitter today. Breaking news. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Matt Mellinger. Kenny Hossie, Mr. Scotch Drinkmore on the Twitter machine. Corrine Jensen, the spicy chick from the Radioactive Metal Show with the Canadian dudes who don't know how to work Patreon. She's got a website dedicated to heavy metal, loudandfierce.com.
Wow.
Thomas Copps.
Spicy.
Is that Moot Spock? Mott?
Yes.
Mott Spock.
Yes.
Benjamin Martinez.
That's the
Jay Kopp, the big Kopp of Pump from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, who we do a yearly wrestling podcast with, who don't have a dollar to support us. But Jay does. That's why he's better than Choppy.
Is Jay from Kopp County, Georgia?
He is. Slowly, okay. He's getting
fucking boo.
He's that's moving right. up the list. He'll be better than Phil since he doesn't have a fucking
David
dollar.
David Copperfield?
Phil's just got 10 hot dog fingers, and that does us no good.
Jay Copperfield.
We got a couple new ones. Sign girl, Christine Friesendorf.
Yay! Right? Wow! Wow.
Danny Douglas over at deathmatchoutlaws.com.
Yeah!
And, of course, Mr. William Mercier.
Slow it down.
Oh, God.
Junior.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
Are you guys getting a little cold? You want me to keep
no,
the door
no,
open?
No, it feels good.
All right, we're good.
I'm good.
All right.
We're back. Joining us in the studio, he sat through the last 10 minutes of us yelling and screaming like a bunch of lunatics.
He's the voice
of MLW. You see him on Fight TV, indie wrestling. He's got the Dick's Locker Room?
Dick's Locker Room Detectives.
Mr. Mark Adam Haggerty. He joins us in studio, finally.
Hey. Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, no, it's the Locker Room Detectives Independent Wrestling TV. It's every Thursday night, and the season finale is in 2 weeks. We've actually done 20 episodes of this ridiculous show, myself and Chris Levin from Impact Wrestling, or formerly of Impact Wrestling, I should say.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that was his big thing last week. I think it got brushed under the rug. A lot of things
I didn't hear
happening.
About that.
Yeah, please, enlighten.
And I know Chris. I like Chris.
Yeah, Chris, he's my best friend in the business. We do the show together, obviously. We travel together. We've worked at Chikara together for a long time. He's been with Impact for, I think, 3 years. And sometime last year, I guess, I don't know what happened, but, you know, he reached out to them, and I don't want to put too much of his business out there, but I think they made it clear that it was time for him to move on to greener pastures, and I think that's all for the best for him, quite frankly. And I'm not just saying it because he is one of my best friends. Chris is, and I hear this from like every wrestler that I know, Chris is like legitimately one of the best referees in the world. He can do serious stuff, he can do comedy stuff, and all the respect in the world to Impact, they're great, but he's been there for 3 years. Right. I think it's time for him to move on and see what else he can do.
And what know? Did they? What was his name? Like his kind of nickname on the independent
Kid Ref.
Kid Ref.
Yeah. I have a shirt that says Kid Ref.
Not great kid. I hope he finds everything that he.
Yeah. No, I really do think. I mean, especially the way wrestling is right now, with AEW and WWE expanding the way that they are. You know, who knows? Chris is going to end up somewhere great and even better than he was before.
Does MLW have an open invitation for Mr. Levine?
Well, Chris does work MLW.
He does.
From time to time. Chris worked the first show that I ever did in New York, actually. He worked for MLW long before I did. So I can't guarantee that he's going to be there in Philadelphia on February 1st or in New York in July, but I think, you know, Chris might pop up again, but I can't speak for MLW, obviously.
All right. It's super exciting to see you on MLW Fusion, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Just as I can't speak for Kevin and Tony, but for me, like, just interacting with you and having you as a guest on the show, it's a proud moment when I can, like, I put on MLW and I'm like, oh shit, that's Mark. Fucking Mark's on TV. And my wife's like, who's that? I'm like, he did our show. She's like, don't these people have anything better to do than fucking talk to you? I'm like, you married me. This is your problem now, lady. I don't know what to tell you. But it's like, I'm so proud. Like, you, like, LAX, like, David Starr, JT Dunn. Like, when you guys, like, pop up, like, and it's kind of, like, kept under wraps, it's such a it's awesome. It's an awesome moment. And I'm so proud for you because I know the struggle that you've dealt with, and I know how much you work. It's every weekend on Twitter. It's
hardest working guy in wrestling right here.
Oh. I did 12 shows in 4 states, and I slept for 6 hours. And you're just, I mean, I don't want this to sound like it's a negative thing, but you're just a ring announcer. Like, I think wrestling needs more wrestlers who have that hunger that you have.
You know, people that I really respect and admire in the business, like Brutal Bob Evans posted something on Facebook a few months ago to that same effect, saying that, like, he really appreciates my drive and my work ethic, and he said that other wrestlers should strive for that. But honestly, a lot of wrestlers do strive for that, and they do go beyond that. I mean, I'm looking at your wall of fame here and everything, and look at all these people. I mean, they strive for everything they've ever achieved, from, you know, Pat Buck right there working for WWE right now. And now a lot of these guys have changed their names going to different promotions, so I'm going to stop naming people. But you, Sonny Kiss, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, is that people, not just me, but it is true, a lot of people in wrestling, they have trouble getting outside their comfort zone. And I think that people notice me the way that you have and the way that a lot of people have is because I am just a ring announcer. If I was a wrestler, you would be like, oh, he's like, you know, any other good wrestler out there doing his thing. So I think that's what sets me apart, but I appreciate that.
And I want to kind of tie this back into Chris, and I think it makes the same point for both of you, is that how not only do wrestlers have to make themselves marketable, announcers, referees have to make themselves marketable, and you see that more and more with the advent of social media and all this stuff. And you see referees trying to get work and announcers trying to get work. Is it different to you trying to put yourself out there as opposed to maybe like a wrestler? Is it something that you're not necessarily used to?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. When I first started in wrestling, I remember when I first had my first T-shirt, a lot of people were angry about that. And not so much because I was so new in the business still, but because I was an announcer. A lot of old school people were like, oh, announcers, referees, they're not supposed to have shirts and stuff like that. But then people that I, once again, really admire, I think it was Danny Cage or someone that like that, was like, dude, if there's people willing to buy them, then you should have them to sell. You know, again, go back to Brutal Bob Evans. You know, I was selling fanny packs and people were giving me shit for that. And Brutal Bob is like, don't tell him, sell him. Just, you know, don't worry about all that. And, you know, yeah, I used to get a lot more guff for selling things, but I think because I've been able to expand my brand beyond just ring announcing, people know me, you know, I'm huge in the LGBTQ community. I've got a massive following in the medical marijuana industry from my past life in there. So I think my personal brand helps me expand beyond that. But to your point about Chris and I, as a referee and a ring announcer, I say this all the time, it's really hard for us to get our personalities out there. Because, you know, Chris is supposed to be, you know, we're both supposed to be, you know, the straight men, you know, for lack of a better term, where I just announce people, get out of the ring. He referees the match right down the middle. And it's really hard to put some personality in there. But the show, The Locker Room Detectives, that we do, we're solving locker room crimes, which originally was supposed to be like, oh, maybe someone loses their knee pad and it'll be like a 1-minute episode. Now they're like 15 minutes long and we're hunting aliens. And Scott Steiner was in one episode. He told Chris, he told Chris that to be a man, Chris, and this is a quote, needs to taste the nectars of a woman's, and I'm going to leave it there. But that's Scott Steiner. That's the booty daddy talking.
follow Locker Room Detectives.
Yeah, at Locker Dicks. Watch us on Independent Wrestling TV. But, yeah, so we've had a lot of big, like, you know, Rhino is running for president of the United States on our show. And we have a lot of fun, and we're able to showcase our personalities and give our friends a platform. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right, so how does this happen? How does this manifest into something so ridiculous where Rhino and Scott Steiner are on it? Is it just right place, right time, or do you explain the idea to them first?
Well,
because we've been doing this for 8 years, and like it's kind of like weird for us to get people on. Do you guys just go up to people, or what?
Yeah, well, it's so for like I mean, we've had like Nick Gage. I think one episode we had Nick Gage, Scott Steiner, and like a bunch of other people on it, and that was Trios Weekend, Chikara Trios Weekend, right, in October. And I remember going up to like Nick, and we were like, "Yo, Nick, can we shoot a video real quick with you telling Chris how to be a man?" And Nick is like, "Fuck yeah, I'll do that. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Fuck yeah." And then we just walked away, walked back into the shot, and like no setup or anything. And Nick is just like, "Yo, Chris, you got to be a man. You got to treat a woman right in the bedroom." And like that was...
Fuck it right in the pussy.
Yeah. Jeez, really?
And that was basically that, you know what I mean?
The soundboard asshole.
It is a lot of like right place, right plan. We do plan things out, like, hey, we're gonna be in this place, maybe we can do like a baseball stadium, maybe we could do something baseball related. But then once we're there, it's like, oh, Penelope Ford is here. Hey, Penelope, you wanna be in our stupid show? And everyone says yes. That's the thing.
That's gonna be my follow up. Well, like, what happens when someone says no?
No one's ever said no.
Okay.
How could you possibly say no? It's something awesome and it's free publicity.
This gives me a lot of confidence now. We've going to shows.
Oh, well, here's my thing too, and I'll say this about, I mean, you guys are like legit. But I do podcasts all the no, I do podcasts all the time that are, you know, they're great guys. But you guys, like, you have a loyal following. You read off your producers and everything. You've got a beautiful setup and everything. People, and I'm just telling you this, like, people want to do your show. And I'm just saying that because, like, we love talking about ourselves.
Right.
And you guys are intelligent and you're funny. And, like, I honestly feel – it's like, just go up to people. That's what I do. And then I'm like, you know what? If you don't want to be on Locker Room Detectives, then fuck you. That's my attitude about it. Right. Can I say – I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. No.
Okay, sorry.
You dropped F-bomb 10 like minutes. Seven
fucking yeah. I thought I heard you say it. But I heard like, shit and ass. I didn't hear – okay, anyway.
Fuck's the tamest one.
We literally just ask people to do things, and then they say yes. And like Bryce Remsburg from AEW is on our next episode this week.
Nice. How do you guys get through? Like, how do you? So, like, Bryce is on AEW. Like, what's the? Is there red tape there?
So, I'll go back. I don't want to say who it is. You guys mentioned him earlier during your AEW talk.
Fucking Scott Steiner.
It's MJF. It doesn't matter. It's MJF. We asked MJF very nice, like, could we do it? And he wasn't able to do it because of his contract. He didn't say no. He just wasn't able to do it. Bryce, I think, because he's a referee, he's in a different, like...
Okay, yeah. Because we did our eighth year anniversary show, we reached out to Sonny because Sonny's local.
Yeah.
And he's done the show before, and it was like... You have to go through that. It was a lot, like, it's
yeah,
tough.
No, yeah,
and it was like you can't record. I mean, get it.
For all I know, Bryce might have like because Chris set it up ahead of time. Bryce might have asked them,
right?
But you know, we didn't have any issue with that. We had Chris Statlander. We just you know, we like I said, and the cool thing is. That's the cool thing. Like, you know, you guys were talking about NWA and AEW before and everything. And, like, everyone, it's so cool because, like, wrestling is thriving in such a beautiful way right now that, like, everyone that you're talking about on TV, on the television, they're all, like, our friends.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And it's so cool. And, like, that's this thing. It's like, yeah, I can go ask these people to be on my dumb show. Yeah, they're famous, but I've also been on shows with them for 3 years.
Right.
And, yeah, that's it.
I'm still a coward, though. Like when I work
it's
shows.
It's intimidating.
I used to be a coward around you guys. I said that on Twitter.
Get the fuck out of
like
here.
At like Pro Wrestling that. Syndicate and WrestlePro. Yeah. Because I was working for some trash dirt sheet at the time doing a podcast for them.
Name it. No, you don't have to.
Oh, no. It was like seven different websites. It was.
I know that you used to write for them for people.
Wrestling Inc., Lords of Pain, TWNP News. Like there's like 15 different ones with different letters. And I would go to shows and I was like, I would see you guys with like, you know, like your Shining Wizards regalia. Like you guys were like official. And then I was just this dweeb sitting there and I was like, oh, I got to figure out another avenue. And then I started ring announcing.
You figured it out, my friend.
Yeah, you definitely
figured it out. We talked about it during the break. you were recently in Dallas for MLW.
Yeah.
And you got some crazy New Jersey weather down there.
Oh, it was terrible. And the worst part about it was reading the weather report back at home. Like, oh, it's 70 degrees at home. That's cool. It's like 32 degrees here. And as you said, and I said to you before, my original flight was supposed to be like a 4.5 hour ride in. But because they got hit with 3 tornadoes at once down there, I guess, like the night before, my flight was rerouted through Raleigh. It took me like 7 hours to get there. But I got there, and it was the biggest crowd I've ever worked in front of in my life.
Really?
Yeah, it was thousands of people.
That's amazing.
The biggest crowd I've ever worked of in front of up until then was probably like 500 people. This was like at least 1,200.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are the nerves like? Are you calm, cool, or is it like, wow, this is a much
once
bigger
it,
than...
Once it starts, I'm really good. Once it starts, it's like, all right, I got my cards. I've got, you know, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I've got, you know, everyone in my ear from Court Bauer to everyone else backstage. So once it starts, it's good. The whole trip there was nothing but nerves.
Right.
Yeah. Up until now, I've only been flown to one other show before. It was in Nashville for Capital Wrestling. But the thing about that was that's like all my friends. It's not that my friends.
Right. It's like Matthew Ryan and all those guys. Like, you know.
And that's cool because Matt's part of MLW too now, which is great because he was down there. And that's the cool thing about MLW that I'll get to. But like Capital, it was different. It was just like, oh, it's just the same thing as Jersey, but somewhere else. This, I was going somewhere on my own, by myself. I didn't have Bobby Orlando sitting in the seat behind me on the plane.
Fucking Bobby.
You know, so it was really like nerve wracking, and it's weird to admit that, but like it really was. I was very anxious all day. But once it started, once I got there, and yeah, like Richard Holiday is someone that I've known since the day I got into wrestling. He introduced me to Paul Roma and really helped jumpstart my career. Alicia Tout is someone that I've known for years, and I'm like honored to be signed to the same company as her.
Yeah, we got
to
get her on this show.
She's so great. And then like I tweeted about it the other day, like to be in the same locker room as like Conan and Low-Key on a regular basis. And I'm saving him for last because it's like you played his music, but it's fucking Savio Vega, you guys. Like how crazy is that? Like he had that Caribbean like come on, it's Savio, guys. And it's so like I'm in like the hotel just like I'm like a real I'm just like looking, I'm like, you're Savio Vega in my mind. And then he looks and I'm like, oh well, no, I'm just over here being a normal person. But it is so cool to have that mix of those legends like that and the up and coming guys. And, it's such a cool group of people.
It's so weird. I'm going to totally flip the script and ask a total generic podcast.
I thought you were going to name drop.
100%. Like, no, I might still, but just like the passion that just by mentioning these names obviously means that you were a fan for a very long time.
Oh yeah.
So like, again, a very generic podcast question, but when you see your kind of energy, even sitting on this couch right now, like what were your fondest memories of professional wrestling, girl?
Watching
like,
Savio Vega.
Watching Savio Vega. And that's it.
Caribbean strap matches,
that's it.
Baby, all day.
All I watch is Savio Vega
matches. My fondest memories in wrestling, probably just like my top things, WrestleMania 9. I might have mentioned that on the last show I did with you guys.
Probably.
It's the first show I ever watched. And obviously, like, the aesthetics of that show really stick with you the way they are.
Vegas.
I worked a show with Tatanka recently, and I had – I have a fanny pack. They're glittery fanny packs that I sell at my merch table. And I've got a bunch of buttons on them. And one of them is a button from 1993 from WrestleMania 9 that I got because we sent our cable bill in or whatever. And
that's awesome.
I've got
that's,
it. That,
they don't do that anymore,
the
man.
The podcast
I've
right
got
there.
It. I've got it on my fanny pack, and I just, like – I don't do this, like – like, even saying that, like, marking out about Savio, I feel like a dweeb, but, like, whatever. Like, I usually don't, like, ask for pictures or any, and I still don't, I never, but whatever.
Yeah.
But I summoned the courage to walk up to Tatanka, and I was like, hey, man, just so you know, you were in the first match I ever saw in my life. And he was really taken aback by that. Like, I showed him the button and everything. I was like, you and Shawn Michaels, I think I said something fucked up. Like, I was like, yeah, man, and Shawn's my favorite wrestler ever. You were there. I think I said it less fucked up than that. But like, man, like, but like, all jokes aside, it's things like that that really stick with me. WrestleMania 12 is a big one for me. 1996 is my favorite year in wrestling. And yeah, those are my favorite moments.
Why is WrestleMania 12 one of your favorites?
Shawn
Brett, and Brett.
You motherfuckers.
Iron Man
really?
Match. Yeah.
He's a fucking cyclops, that Shawn Michaels. Get out of here.
No, get out of here yourself.
I don't know.
Brett
Hart
up to this
all
bully.
Day.
Oh, that's why
all
you don't like
day.
It? Because Brett lost?
I
that's
don't
weird.
Like it because Shawn Michaels May still be a piece of shit.
He lost his smile, man.
And then he found Jesus and all that stuff. And I'm
supposed to forgive. He's also losing his vision.
Yeah. And he's not losing to become one. It's like the Spice Girls.
Yeah, but does that mean like he could see like things in like four dimensions
now?
Dude,
he could see X-ray.
He could see like through things?
That's why NXT UK is doing so well, because he is like seeing the future.
I had one interaction with Shawn Michaels ever. And
let it ride.
I can't even say where it was. This is a kayfabe, brother, but like,
Tell me someone, it was a glory hole.
Someone, yeah, it was. Yeah, you know me. I have my.
I wasn't talking about you. I got my. I was talking about HBK.
I got my glory
that
hole
that
I got set up, and I tweet about it all the time. And HBK for God, or whatever
Kevin's
his
done.
Twitter handle is.
Kevin's out.
M-A-H glory hole.
That's his Twitter.
Follow that, guys. It's weird because that one's verified, but I'm not. It's so weird. That is a wiki and everything.
We're not verified either. Don't worry about it.
But I had one interaction with him ever, and I wasn't even the one. I just overheard a conversation where, like, we were in Chicago, and he asked someone, like, in his, like, southern, like, gravelly accent, he was just like, "Yo, where do you get sundries around here?" And I was just like, "Sundries? Like, what?" I had to look that up. That's like,
you're like a craisin?
That's no. That's like an old. That's like, you know, like grocery talk. That's like, where can you find, like?
Well, I know toiletries.
Where can you find peanuts and soda pop and things? That's what he was asking for. Where do you find sundries? And I just kept repeating that to everyone all day.
So I can't. Like, I can't
various items not important enough to be mentioned individually.
Yep, there you go.
So you said
a drugstore selling magazines, newspapers, and sundries. There you go.
All right. I learned
sundries.
Something new.
By the way, I don't know if you noticed on the Wall of Fame, we actually had an interaction with Tatanka. He helped us celebrate Mick Foley's birthday a couple of years ago.
Oh, oh yeah, there he
there
is.
Next
there
to
he
Joey
is.
Styles.
Joey Styles, Tatanka, and Mick Foley.
That's a good point.
That's a quality group there.
Yeah.
It was actually a hell of a day. A
couple
of
fucking slobs in there. I know exactly where I was that day, too.
Picking up Nigel McGuinness?
At fucking Randall's Island for some fucking awful music festival.
Oh, you weren't there
truck.
For that?
No, I wasn't there for that. I was very upset about it.
I sent Phil 6 o'clock in the morning. He was on his way to the convention. I said, "Can you pick up a cake somewhere for Nick for his birthday?"
He ate fucking two on the way, and he still can't sign up for our Patreon. Fucking
Jesus,
asshole.
Would you stop?
What? I fucking... You know how much it costs to sign up for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Patreon? Fucking $5 was the least amount of money I could give them.
For them?
Yeah! And then 2 weeks later, I got a message yesterday, "Thanks for signing up." 2 weeks later! His fucking fat fingers couldn't type up, "Thanks for signing up."
That's insulting.
Will you stop?
Exactly. Thank That's why Mark. Jay Cop needs Big Papa Cop.
If you ever take a trip down to Cobb County,
here's what you
Georgia,
do. Jacob Pop. Toss fucking Choppy and his fucking talon feet. Get him out of here. Get fucking Riverboat Phil out of here. He's fucking out. Recruit two other guys. Start your own
show.
They
need the $5 to pay for his manicure.
Holy, $5. Phil can't even give us a dollar. I better wake up
Whoa.
To a fucking Turnbuckle Throwbacks $1 Patreon pledge tomorrow. Phil,
Mark,
you cheap fuck.
I am like, so sorry you had to be here.
We mentioned about asking for pictures. Where do you stand on that with people that are working the shows asking for pictures with top talent? Where do you stand? Because I need to know. I'm getting opinions from everybody.
If they ask me for a picture, I'll take it because, I mean...
We're getting one after the show.
We're doing one.
Whenever anyone asks me for a picture, I'm very flattered. I never think about it any other
I'm
way.
I'm talking about guys,
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah. Is like, I think... For the most part, they probably think about it the same way. You know, there might be something in the back of their head because, like Jimmy Havoc is someone that, you know, I work shows. I mean, he's with MLW. He was in a brutal barbed wire match in Dallas.
Can we talk about how bad his hair is?
No comment.
Who has worse hair, him or Brian? Did Brian Pillman Jr.?
Brian Pillman's got great hair. Get the fuck out of here.
Did he stop dyeing it fucking white?
Dude, Brian Pillman's hair is glorious.
Okay.
I'll die on
white.
That hill, dude. Like, and he dude, he shaved like these lightning bolts into it.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's old school.
It's dope, dude.
That's 80s hair, man.
Eddie Edwards had some awful hair last night on Hard to Kill. You, like, braided the shit? It didn't look good. I'm very weird about people's hair. Sorry.
My only point is that, like, you know, I see, especially like in Dallas, because you have like the local wrestling talent coming to help with the show, the same as in New York and everything. And you see a lot of guys like asking for pictures with guys like Jimmy and MJF and all those kind of guys. And, you know, there might be something in the back of their head where they're like, you know, they think something weird about it. But I think at the end of the day, it's flattering, especially to be appreciated by your peers like that.
Absolutely.
When I go somewhere, like, I'll go down to, like, Delaware, West Virginia or somewhere that I don't go often, somewhere where, like...
You have the most teeth. I get it.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, but somewhere...
Hey, you're not that damn ring announcing, fella.
yeah, that's the kindest thing they say to me, believe me. But like when they ask me for pictures and stuff, like it means a lot. Oh, dude, believe me. When I went into like, I
can only imagine.
I get worried going some places. I worry because, like, I mean, I'm not like if you don't follow me on social media, I feel like I don't really.
Right. And you don't.
Yo, I don't act gay. Just say it, guy. No,
no, it's not like look. But I love Sonny Kiss, but when Sonny Kiss comes into a room, you know what Sonny Kiss is all about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but you don't have that presence.
But like I do have like, you know, my rainbow Mark Haggerty t-shirts right. and stuff. But like packing for Dallas, I was a little, you know, apprehensive about stuff. But then I got down there and, you know, you realize that no matter where places are, if it's a big city, if it's a metropolitan area, like no matter where it is, it's going to be a more progressive place than right. otherwise. And I thought the fans were so cool. There was this like older woman. I don't want to say that. She might listen. But like, yeah.
Probably doesn't.
First of all, if it's a woman, she's not listening.
Hey, she follows me on Twitter. Maybe she's
no.
I mean, you know
what?
Maybe
right.
she.
We got lots of older women listen to this
either
show.
Either way, she was, you know. She took a picture with the ring announcer at some show in Dallas back in the 80s.
I saw that.
Wearing her, like, I love the Von Erich t-shirt. And then she came to this show, like, 30-whatever years later and took a picture with me wearing a homemade I love the Von Erichs t-shirt. And that was really cool coming from, like, this, like, authentic Texan lady and everything. And it's like, you follow me. You know that I'll – okay, cool. You guys are all right. I like it here. And I'm looking forward to going back. MLW is actually going back in on May 2nd.
Oh, May, yes.
May 2nd.
That's awesome. That's so
Dude,
cool.
It's awesome. We're going to Chicago in April.
You guys are doing Philly in February.
Philly at the 2300 Arena.
Yeah,
it's the first time I've ever worked there.
They're
February 8th.
February 1st.
8th? February 1st.
February 1st, the day before the Super Bowl.
Yes, the 1st.
The 1st.
First, Kevin.
First?
Yes.
First.
Philly?
If I'm wrong, then...
No, you're not wrong.
It's February 1st.
It's February 1st.
All right, so I got to ask.
Yes, do it, Tony.
Since we open the door,
someone else is wrong. Then,
since you're becoming quite the public figure, I'm sure you get the solicitations, and we like to ask all the guests this: have you been receiving some not so nice messages? Has your has your Twitter been blowing up with DMs?
Well,
you know?
I get.
Not... Okay,
all right,
well, there you go.
I'm glad
he
clarified
right
that you were asking for dick. Okay, so I was going
to
say.
No, I like to let the guest work into that. You know
get,
what I'm saying? But we could jump right
I was going
to
say, I get pretty nasty messages from all angles. Some of them are hateful death threats. I get those.
Such a likable guy.
I'm not even kidding. I get like some version of like a Bible verse or like I get messages threatening me, not really threatening to kill me, but threatening that, like, you know, bad things happen to bad people, like, and stuff like that. I get
so, like,
that.
You should change your sinning ways.
I get
stuff
those,
like that.
I'm not even exaggerating, like, every other day. And
that's awful.
They go right to my message request folder, and then, like, I'll check, I forget about that folder, and then I check it, like, a week or two later, and then there's, like, 10 people that are like, don't you come to this place because you know what's going to happen to you. And I was like, don't worry. I'm not coming to Wyoming anytime soon. I've been to Wyoming. It's not cool.
Really?
It sucks.
Eric Bischoff made it sound like it was paradise.
Well,
we had him
fuck
on the
him.
When
like,
we had him on the show, like, I asked him about it. It just sounded so amazing, like
no,
fishing
I
and
no, I
and,
shouldn't say that. Because I should say, like, I think Eric Bischoff is dope. I listen to his show every week. I think he's cool. Yeah, I think he's an inspiration. Like, I think, and I really mean it, like, someone that was able to work their way into the business as an announcer and then shape the business so much.
Sears catalog.
That is it. Yeah, seriously, that's it. So I just want to know, like, if you know, if God forbid hears me say fuck him, I mean that as a joke. But I do just Wyoming is beautiful, but it's the kind of place where so I was driving through it and I got to a town and that town is like maybe 6 blocks long. And then
that's how a lot of it is out there.
And then when you get to the edge of town, right past the last gas station, there will be like one of those green like government signs and it will say next gas station 300 miles. And also, when you're out in the desert, you don't get any cell reception. So back then, I was dating the ladies, you see. And awesome.
That was perfect.
That was awesome. And then my girlfriend and I were like driving through the desert, like running out of gas. And I was like, dude, what the fuck are we going to do if we run out of gas? We can't call anyone. We haven't seen anyone for hours. So that's why I don't like Wyoming. I love Eric Bischoff.
Let me ask you this, though, because you mentioned a great point that I want to bring up about how Eric Bischoff started as an announcer and rose to heights that probably he didn't expect and nobody expected. Is that something that's in your line of vision in terms of, other than ring announcing, being involved in creative, doing anything other than just being a voice?
Do you want to be a wrestler?
No, I didn't. That's not.
That's what I want to know.
I'll answer that one quick because that's an easier one. No,
really, never. You don't want to take bumps. You don't want to get.
I do all the time, and it's not fun. Like the regular wrestlers take bumps, and then they're cool to do it again in 5 minutes. I take a bump, and I'm hurt for 3 months because I'm not conditioned to it. And also with the new MLW responsibilities, like I really kind of have, cause I manage in a lot of places. This weekend I'm going to be at Primetime Wrestling where I'm an asshole.
Sean Mooney will be there though.
Sean Mooney will, Primetime Wrestling. I never had any desire to be a wrestler growing up. I always wanted to be a ring announcer my entire life and that's what I'm doing. To answer your question, Kevin, no.
Wow.
I'll say this. Like, at Chikara, I help out a lot. Chris Levin and I help out backstage as much as we can. And I like doing that. And, you know, if someone asks me for a creative decision, input, whatever, I'm always down for that kind of thing. But – and this is just me being completely honest with you guys. I just like being on TV. And that's just true.
No,
that's fair.
I was class thespian in high school. I've always been involved in the theater and acting and things like that.
Favorite musical you've ever been in?
You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. I was Linus.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was dope.
Were you always like the lead, or were you always kind of like second lead or cat, like ensemble, if you will?
He was tree one.
I was never tree one.
He was tree month.
I was tree four. No, I was usually I don't want to say the lead, but usually up in that area.
You can
for
be
sure.
modest. It's okay.
I was usually, you know, up in that area, but, you know, to be able to ring announce and now to be able to do it on TV, like that's wild and just like beyond my wildest dreams. That's all I've ever wanted.
Did this MLW contract come as a surprise to you?
Yeah.
Really? Actually, great point. How did this happen? Go through it.
Okay. So about a week before MLW in New York City, Matt Ryan from Capital Wrestling messaged me and he was recently signed as a producer there. And he messaged me and he said, hey, do you want to work for MLW? And I said, yes. And he's like, okay, well, it's a Thursday. And I was like, dude, you know, I don't do anything during the week. Like, I work in pro wrestling. The Shining Wizards want me to come to their place on a Monday. I'm there like, I'll go anywhere. It is Monday, right? I have no idea during the week.
It is, yes.
I swear to God, I thought it was Tuesday for the longest time today. But so he tells me, he's like, it's a Thursday, this and that. And I'm like, dude, you know, I'll do it no matter. Like, come on, this is a major opportunity. And I went, and more so even than in Dallas, I was petrified all day. I was so nervous of fucking up. It was the most scared I've ever been before a show. And I really don't get like that. But it was the most scared I've ever been before a show. But I had Chris Levin there, and I hate to ever say anything nice about him, and I already did on the show, which sucks. But like he really put me at ease because he's been doing TV for so long, and it's just old hat to him. But he made me feel better. So many people were there that, as I said before, that just put my mind at ease. So I got through the show, and one thing that, like, and I'll never stop telling this story, and I hope he doesn't mind me telling this story. He might send me a message eventually and be like, stop selling that story, but
we're live.
Night that I was there, I had my IFB in my ear, my earpiece. And, you know, throughout the night, Court Bauer was saying some like really nice things about my performance. And to me, that's a really big deal because I talked to you guys before about how I used to listen to your podcast when I was in California, which is where I'm like,
I want to get into that.
I've been listening to you guys for a long, ever since I discovered wrestling podcasts, honestly.
That's awesome.
And right around the time I discovered you guys, I discovered MLW Radio. And, you know, to have these guys that I used to listen to on a podcast, Conan and Court Bauer, in my ear telling me that I'm doing a good job is so mind-blowing. And I did the introductions for the main event, which was Brian Pillman and Davey Boy Smith Jr. And after it was over, I just heard Court in my ear go like, fuck yes, that was awesome. Great job. And I was like, I was elated. I went home on a high that even in my years of the marijuana business, I've never experienced a high like that ever. And
like a Joe Rogan high.
And 2 or 3 days later, I got an email from MLW and they offered me a contract. They said they wanted me to come on board and they said, we want you in Dallas. We want you in Chicago. And I was floored by it. I got into this business as you guys probably know, I got into it because David Adams couldn't make a show once, and that was good enough for me.
David Adams not here.
We love
David.
We
got time for one more match. But David, who I love, he's a good friend of mine, obviously.
And he got screwed up because he wrestled.
Legend. At House of Glory.
That was Larry Legend.
I was there for that show.
And because that happened, I had an opportunity. And I remember telling, dude, when Dan Ram from the BBWF called me and was like, do you want to do this show? Because you can't do it. I'm not even kidding with you. I called my parents. I called everyone. I was like, dude, I'm going to be on wrestling, like, you know, in like Gino Caruso's school at the EC. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was, you know, like, and
this is ridiculous.
Tony is an ECPW alumni.
But my point is, announcing a bunch of my friends in that building in front of no fans, that was the height that I was happy with at that point. I was like, I get to touch wrestling ring ropes, which I had never done.
That's the best, right?
And when you got in, did you hit the ropes a little bit?
A little bit. I bounced out a little. No, I didn't want anyone to notice, though.
No,
so
but
I was
you kind of
like,
snuck it in there.
I'm tripping over myself. Well, thank God those ropes are there.
It's such a crock of shit that people are like, oh, we never did it. Like, you're a fucking wrestler. Like, it doesn't matter where it is. It could be at the fucking Holiday Inn on Route 46. And it could be at Gino Caruso School. It could be MLW in Philadelphia. If you get an opportunity to touch the ring ropes and get in the ring, as a fan, you're fucking doing it.
Dude.
That's the reason why you're business.
You grow up looking at that ring and you're like, I wonder what those ropes feel like. I wonder what that turnbuckle feels like. Right. I wonder what that mat feels like. And then
me and Kevin found out the hard way.
No, but I can tell you, we got in the ring. Did you take a picture with Sherry at the Holiday Inn?
Took a picture with Sherry and King Kong Bundy and Jim Cornette.
Yeah, but that was great because the photo ops were in the ring. Cornette was in one corner, Bundy was in another, Sherry was in another. So when you're in the ring, you're feeling it. Like, you feel what the mat feels like.
And you get
like
to go through the ropes and you were like,
oh man,
that
how
was
great
more
it is
exciting like, than taking a picture with
between
these
the first and second ropes. And know what, I always used to get in the ring like Bret Hart, you know, he sits down on the second rope and he gets in. That's how I molded my getting in the ring after
doing.
Bret Hart.
Look what you're doing to these guys, Mark.
No, because it's such an awesome feeling.
It is
getting
it really
in that
is
ring the first time.
And to me, that was enough at that time to be able to like be like, oh, you know, from this place, that place, Juan Vargas or whatever he's called now. I think it's just Vargas now, right?
Vargas.
But like, I remember he was the first person I ever announced.
Get out of here.
And that was the coolest thing of like him and Izzy Reyes and all these guys from like Kevin Knight's like IWF school. They rest
you
in
never
peace.
Forget.
IWF, best. Never forget.
No,
I see what you did there. That's awesome.
I know who our first in-studio wrestling guest was, and I know who our first in-studio phoner was. Okay. In-studio was Jocka.
Okay.
Well, he was Johnny Mangway at the time.
Okay. And our phoner was Rhett Titus.
Oh, really?
And it's like the fucking coolest thing ever.
It really is. And that was enough for me. And to then like get that email, it was like, this isn't – honestly, and I know it's – I was like, this isn't supposed to happen. This like – you never think – it would ever happen. And then it does. And it's mind blowing. And it's for 3 years, which is crazy.
That's awesome.
I told, MJF asked me backstage at MLW. He asked me, like, how long is your career?
It's over. It's done.
He's like, how long is your deal for? And I said, 3 years. And I guess I said it in a way. And he's like, why are you making that face? And I guess he thought, like, I was upset. And I was like, obviously, I'm really happy about it. But I told him, I was like, dude, I've only been in this business for 3 years. And now it's so crazy to think, like, it's not like a face of, like, it's just like, I can't believe this stuff is happening.
Can I tell you an MJF story?
Please, I love them.
It was like in the locker room after a show, and I wanted to get a liner from him saying, you're listening to the Shining Wizards, this and that. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, dude. You're doing big things. I apologize. He's like, dude, I've been in the business 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been doing this for seven.
He is like, he's a very humble guy like that. Yeah.
And as much as he will probably deny the story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's incredible. And I still get the feeling that you do. Like
he'll never admit that when I walked into a locker room once, he announced me as I walked in, which I'll never forget. And that made me feel like I was welcome in the locker room, which, you know, as you know, podcasters, ring announcers, referees, sometimes there is like this invisible line between the wrestlers and everyone else.
100%.
And I'm just here to say, like, you know, because obviously what when I was podcasting and everything, it was
not all of them. Some
it
of them.
It was very visible to a degree. But even now as a ring announcer, sometimes you feel that. So to be like welcomed in that way really means a lot.
And I still feel like an outsider in locker rooms. Still feel like a complete total outsider.
You've been around longer than me, man.
I know.
It's weird.
I still feel like a mark.
I don't get – I'm not me there too. As much as you are, but when I'm there, it's like – I don't shake the hands. I don't do
it. I don't do it either. It's Matt, just so sad.
Matt got approached once. He was out to eat with his wife. And somebody recognized him from the show, and he threw off his whole night.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable talking about. And God bless my wife. God bless her. She's like, oh, tell him about your podcast. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
We're here to eat.
This is uncomfortable. Like, yeah. I'm with you. This is our time. This is awkward for me. Now, when I was walking around Disney in my Macho Man Randy Savage t-shirt, people were like, bro, nice shirt. I'm like, shiningwizards.com.
Of course.
I've also been day drinking for 4 hours, so.
Well, you know, like, when someone recognizes me, I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to them and all that kind of stuff. What I don't like is being in, like, a Wawa and some, like, little kid comes up to me and he's like, oh, I saw you on Grimm's Toy Show. And I'm like, oh, cool.
Little kid,
those
really?
Those are still up there. Those are still on YouTube. Oh, huh?
Yeah, but you got to own that.
They
man.
Haven't
you know,
been
it
flagged.
Is what it is.
No, and that's why I bring it up and laugh about it. Grimm is still a good buddy of mine. And, you know, even in Dallas, I'm like walking out and these like little kids are like, Haggerty, Haggerty. And I'd never been there. I'd never been to that's Texas. Awesome.
I did it once at a WrestlePro show where I walked around the corner and people were like, oh, it's Shining Wizards Matt. And I did a fucking 180 and I just went back the other way.
Such a fraidy cat, man.
No, I just, dude.
I know. Come on. You're uncomfortable.
No, we went to fucking Legends of the Ring and a bunch of people came up to the table while we were eating and wanted to talk about The Undertaker. And I'm like,
yeah, I don't want to talk about that shit.
I'm fucking eating, dude. Like, yeah. Let me drink a couple Jacks and Coke.
I'll tell you
Cokes,
right now.
And then I'll fucking talk to you about
it. I'll tell
everything.
You right now. Like, if fans come up to me and they're like, oh, man, I love you on this, that, blah, blah. Like, yeah, great. If they come up to me and they're like, oh, what do you think about Baron Corbin? I don't think about Baron Corbin. I'm sorry. Whatever. And that's no shade against him at all. And I mean that. Like, fans, feel how you want. Man's making a paycheck and doing a hell of a job doing it. Okay.
You made me laugh. Because
I just feel like we're not in a position to turn these people away yet. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
we're not turning. I don't think we're turning people away. I think we're just. It's weird, dude.
Oh, no, it definitely is weird.
Well, we did our 8th anniversary show. Falabach comes to the microphone. He goes, guys, I don't want to talk about wrestling. He was like, I don't know a thing about wrestling.
So we talked about everything else.
It was
Fallout Boy.
Oh, still watch that Disney movie.
That's what's up.
With the dog who's Billy Joel.
Well, you know, what's wild is a fan. And I use that term. I think he's like training to be a wrestler, sadly. He came up to me at Battle Club Pro, and it was real rough, dude, because as we've covered, gay guy here. As we've covered, I'm gay, and this guy walks up to
me.
And he doesn't know me, and he's like, hey, man, you seen that Lars Sullivan video? And I'm just like,
oh, Mitch Bennett.
And I'm just like, and I'm
Jesus!
Like, I just stared at him for a second and I was like, nah, man. And he's like, oh, I figured you would have. And I was like,
what?
I was like, why you figure that? And then he continues. And then he continues on. And he tells me, he's like, you know, not for nothing. Not for nothing. A.R. Fox looks like he was uncomfortable in his video, but Lars Sullivan looked like he was having fun. And I'm like, dude, why are you doing this? Like,
that's awkward. That's,
it's like,
fuck it.
I asked him after he got all this out of his head. I was like, are you asking everyone here that or just me?
And his reply?
He didn't have a reply. He didn't understand why I was asking that question.
In your brain, you were like,
I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, let me see if you walk up to Killian McMurphy and Still Life with Apricots and Pears. Let me see what other queers you walk up to right quick. And then I'll judge you based on that. But it's crazy what fans will say to you.
Wow.
Some wrestling fans are...
Yeah.
They're a lot.
Yeah.
They're a lot.
No,
The problem is like...
I feel like the more successful we get, I don't want to shit on more wrestling fans.
I'm not shitting. There's a line, though. Like, I'm not going to walk up to Mark and be like, hey, dude, who's got the biggest dick in the locker room?
For real.
Well, he's like,
a locker room detective.
But Matt also knows the answer to some of those questions.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, I saw Ricky and Robert's balls. It was fucking amazing.
Were Robert's balls
and that's
like cross-eyed?
Was it amazing balls?
If someone...
It's rock and roll balls.
If a fan comes up to me and they're like, what do you think about Baron Corbin? Like, I'll give him the I don't think about him joke. But like, it doesn't offend me. It's fine. I appreciate that they want to come up and talk to me. I'd rather talk about maybe the show we're at.
Right. But you see, that's the thing, too, because like a lot of times they approach you and it's like, well, what do I say to this guy?
Yeah.
I feel like I want to talk to him, but I just don't know how to approach
him. And I get that because I grew up as a fan, too. You want to walk up to them and be like, I got knowledge.
Right,
I know
you want to be engaging.
Yeah.
But your sexual preference should have nothing to do with
that's
the conversation.
My point. Yeah, that's really annoying.
Can I break the fourth wall? We used to go to ECW Arena, and one time Sandman was outside having a cigarette, and I'm like, Sandman! I love you, man. It was one of those moments.
Yeah,
my cousin goes, I love you. I'm like, shut up. You didn't say anything.
I also told Balls Mahoney I was in Franklin Avenue in Nutley, and he stopped in the middle of his match, and he goes, I'm from Spring Lake, bro. It's a gimmick. And I was like,
I miss Balls. Mahoney.
You really said that, though, Franklin?
That's hilarious,
that's
dude.
That's awesome.
I also had the professor put me in the Taz Mission. And we all chanted, LT didn't tap out to Bam Bam Bigelow. So
that yep, that sounds about right.
I was a real piece of shit when I was, I'm still a piece of shit.
Sounds
when I was like 18 years old and I was going to ECPW shows. Yeah,
but his old man got pissed off at Sabu and Van Damme one night and he pissed all over their trailer.
Wow.
For RV.
RV. RV for RVD.
So where are you right now? Because, listen, you excelled.
He's in North Arlington.
North Arlington. Thanks, man. Thanks. The mean streets.
Trying to help.
My RA in college was from North Arlington.
Well, there you go.
There it is.
Colin something.
Where'd you go to school?
Big fat Irish guy. I went to St. Peter's College for 1 month.
There
and then I was kicked out because Colin couldn't keep his mouth shut.
And you got signed to MLW.
And that, yeah,
later.
Yeah. That's
two weeks later.
Colin's, 2 weeks later.
Colin sounds like a jerk.
Yeah. You know what? Self-realization, I think I was kind of a jerk, to be honest. Colin is actually probably kind of a good guy. But he's from North Arlington. What were you going to ask me?
I was going to ask you, like, where are you in terms of, like, what you've accomplished in such short amount of time? And, like, where are you on, like, the humble meter in terms of, like, what you say to other people that have maybe lower than you, maybe? That's a weird way to say it. As opposed to people above you in terms of experience.
Like, how do you treat the peons?
The coming up. The people coming up.
The young boys.
Like, the plebeians.
But again, like you said, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, no, it's a weird line to ride sometimes.
If I can cut you off, though, it's not like he's been like...
I'm not saying he has.
No, but if you follow Mark on Twitter, like, he puts in the work. Like, that's... And I feel like we're in a generation where people don't do that.
Yep.
No, and we'll drive.
Like, Mark is
doesn't
where
matter,
he, like,
doesn't matter, doesn't
I have
matter,
a
doesn't
date. I have these dates open in January, and he's putting that up in November. Like, I want to do this. I don't care where I'm going, and I think in this generation with the, I just deserve it. Just give me it. Just let me do it. And that's why Mark is in the position. In my opinion, and I could be wrong, that's why you're in the position. Why you got signed to MLW is because you grind.
I think
and
no,
not
I think
like
so
the
too.
Grind
and
away.
He's also you
right.
know.
No, I bump and grind as well.
Oh, nice.
We all do.
That's a good point.
Married.
That's a good point.
But
don't put me into this.
I don't know. Do you still bump and grind?
Every day.
Every really? Day.
Even
every
with your
day.
Fucking, like, 15-year-old kid.
I don't do it every day.
Why is this about me? Mark's the guest today.
Yeah, but does a kid hear it?
Question.
I just didn't
totally
ask.
Hijacked. You better put some fucking soundproof shit in that room, bro. He doesn't need to hear that.
Why did this turn into
life?
Me creeping on my wife? Like, I don't understand.
Not creep, let's bump get, and grinding with your wife, but your kid hearing it will fuck him up, just so you know.
Well, to answer your question.
Thanks.
Thank you, please.
20 minutes later.
I have, you know, I do make a point, not to put myself over in this regard, but I do make a point to bring a lot of younger people out on the road with me a lot. And that is because of my connection at the Wrestle Factory in Chikara. When I started at Chikara, Mike Quackenbush realized that I was probably – I had – and this is crazy, but, like, I had more exposure in so many different places than a lot of other people at Chikara. You know, a good portion of those people, even though they have a lot of name value through Chikara, they don't work in as many different various places as I have. Some of them have, like, Solo Darling and, you know, so on and so forth, like Ophidian.
You get that a lot, though, around, like, the indies. Like, you see it around here. Like, some guys, like this is their promotion, yeah. And that's where they stay. And a lot of them are happy doing that.
And that's, you know, that is why people in New Jersey haven't seen me show up at certain major wrestling promotions, is because they ask for exclusivity. And I've never been willing to do that. That guy right there asked me for exclusivity, and I was not willing to do that, and I feel like my career has thrived because of that.
Well, Danny Dory?
Now that Bruno's dead, you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, fine. Bruno asked me for – but anyway –
the man that turned down Bruno Sammartino.
But, like, with Chikara, like, I bring out guys like Joshua Wells and all the guys from The Crucible and people like that as much as I can to different shows. It's really fulfilling. I tweeted about it recently that I remember the first time I was ever brought out on the road with Robbie E, and he had a hotel room for us, like, and I remember I was like, whoa, so the promoter's covering all of this and we get to stay here for free. And it was like all old for him, but it was so new and cool for me to be out there riding his coattails. And recently I took a bunch of guys out on the road with me, and I was the one getting the hotel. And it's a really cool feeling being able to help people in that regard. And I always tell people, like, and this should be common sense for everyone in the world, no matter what they do, but I treat every single person how they treat me. You know, everyone in wrestling has a bad reputation for something. Everyone. Even, like, squeaky clean people that are like, oh, I've never heard anyone say a bad word about Mark Adam Haggerty. I'm sure they have. Some guy on Lords of Pain's comments said that the only reason MLW hired me is so that they could be the most woke wrestling company. Suck my dick. That's stupid.
What the fuck is so, woke? Jesus but, Christ!
Yeah, he said it, like, 10 times in the first hour of the
but
show.
But my point is that, like, everyone has heat with everyone for some dumb reason, and I hear all the time, it's like, oh, well, you shouldn't associate with this person because they said this about that. You shouldn't associate with this guy because he's a Nazi. And
everybody's
it's like,
an expert. Everybody should be fired.
Everyone's a racist. Yeah. Everyone's a Nazi. Everyone is a homophobe. And it's like, you know what? The guys that you say are homophobes and all that kind of shit, they treat me with respect. And they talk about me with respect. And that's all that I can judge them on. And you know what? If they talk about me behind my back, that's sad for them, but whatever. It is what it is. But I treat everyone based on how they treat me, whether they've been in the business for 30 years or whether they've been in the business for 30 days.
And we're in studio, Mark Adam Haggerty. Follow him on Twitter. I can't believe you only have 6,000 followers on Twitter.
Wow. For real?
I'm jealous.
Mark A. Haggerty on Twitter. ProWrestlingTees.com/Haggerty. He's the voice of MLW. He's pretty much been – what's the count? Do you have a count?
Yeah, I have a
– I'm going to say over 50.
Yeah, definitely.
He's the voice of every independent –
I keep extensive notes on every show I've ever worked.
That's awesome.
Smart man.
And every promotion
amazing.
I've ever worked. 73.
He's nice. The voice of 73 wrestling
off
promotions.
Off and on. Some of them were like – I mean, BBWF. I mean, come on. But,
right.
But
I know I laugh when I hear that too.
So crazy.
I'll tell you, I forgot that that's how I first knew you was
we're in like a Twitter group message thing, and I've been promoting this all week, and I'm like, if you guys want to talk to him like this, he will do your show. Just mm-hmm. talk to him like.
Yeah, I really love doing podcast interviews. I love doing YouTube stuff. Obviously, I love doing wrestling shows, everyone listening. But yeah, I'm doing this this queer wrestling podcast tomorrow. And like, you guys have thousands and thousands of fans. I think this kid has like maybe like 100 or so, maybe even less. But like, that's not important to me. It's important that I'm supporting this gay podcaster who's just trying to be a part of the industry the same as I was.
Gotta start somewhere.
You got a plug for him? You got his info?
No, I don't.
At queer wrestling
slash guy.
MAHGloryHole.com.
Yeah, it's MAHGloryHole, guys.
/ Shawn Michaels.
His podcast is LGBT Ring Pod. That's awesome, man. It doesn't matter to me. Like, you know, I mean, everyone's got to start somewhere, and I'm happy to help people out.
That's a thing.
I'm happy to give them a plug, man.
It's really what it is.
I mean, you guys, like, you know, you guys have been interacting with me for the better part of the last couple of years, like when I was a nobody and everything. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate everyone that's been supporting me ever since the beginning. And yeah,
you got to pay it forward
like Kevin Spacey, but not like Kevin
Spacey.
You know what I mean?
But it's more or less like, find the border. If you're going to take the time to support us, like
put some space between
the Spaceys.
It's not about like who you are or what you do. It's if you're going to take the time, if you're going to take 2 hours a week to listen to this show, I'm going to support you. I'm going to follow you. And it might not mean much in the grand scheme of things, but that's just the way it is. Like, just we support. You've been a supporter since day one, and you've climbed the ranks, and the least we can do is give you an hour and change to come on here and hang out with us and shoot the shit. Like,
hell yeah.
I thought we had a great time.
We're having a great time. We had a great time last time we talked to him on the show.
Via the phone ski.
Via the phone. I really – when we sent you the T-shirt, I thought you were in New Jersey, so I didn't think you were coming from Brooklyn.
Well, I was in New Jersey when you sent it to me.
But you're not anymore.
No, I am.
No,
I
live is.
In we well, don't now, my like, boyfriend and I don't live together. I live in South Jersey. He lives in Brooklyn.
Yeah, but South Jersey's like another world from up here, man.
Yeah, for real, for
Tom's
real.
Tom's River's like, eh.
Take it from me. Yeah, it's
great. I didn't mean to say that.
No, I don't give a shit. I couldn't. It's a giant town.
That's a good point.
I don't care. Yeah, no, I don't care at all. But like I'm not from New Jersey. That's the thing. And I moved here and it's just like the shows, like all the shows about it and everything. It's just like that. It's crazy. And then you meet some normal people, like, I want to say you guys.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. I felt like you were going to say that. Okay.
Right,
gotcha.
No, he's the fucking worst, dude.
I knew what woke was. You didn't even know what that was.
I also have a fucking lifetime membership to 4chan.
That's his defense.
I knew that's a T-shirt.
Don't
dude.
Knock 4chan. I knew man. What a lot woke of good was. Comes out of 4chan. Don't
you know about 4chan?
Yeah.
Yeah. See this.
I'm aware
too.
Of what 4chan.
He's
what?
The fucking king of 4chan.
Oh Jesus!
Well, I'm the king.
Someone
of 4chan.
Asked, someone.
Well, I'm the king.
Well, Chris Levin and I were trying to plan a Locker Room Detectives episode with someone, and they were like, oh, how do you guys like talk to like Slack chat and everything? And Chris was like, we just communicate on the 4chan message boards. And they didn't get that it was a joke.
Wow. 4chan's a good place, man.
What about this? So we kind of were going back and forth about getting you here, and then I reached out to you like around New Year's Eve, and you guys had like a wrestling show at your
apartment? Oh, yeah, dude. That was insane. It was stupid.
All right.
So
sign me up.
So we had a New Year's party at my home in South Jersey or Central Jersey. We're not going to get into that argument.
You're south.
We had a party and we invited all of our friends from Chikara and all of our friends from the local area. And we talked to Jerry over at IWTV, who put our show on IWTV for us. And we were like, hey, man, so we're thinking about having some, like, I don't know, wrestling matches in my home. What do you think about that? And he's like, well, if you do it, I'll put it up on the network. So we had an open challenge where Molly McCoy had, like, a drinking contest with Ron Voyage. We had
Kevin Hernandez,
good brother Kevin Hernandez, good friend of mine. We had a tag team match with Oreo Speedwagon, which is Xavier Faraday and Joshua Wells, against Trajan Horn, the Chubby Daddy, and Tommy Vex. They just like destroyed each other in my home. And then the main event was Frantic from Chikara
one of Matt's favorite guests ever.
Against Violence.
Frantic was the best.
Frantic's a trip. I'm going to leave it at that. But those guys, like, they went through a door in my home, like a real door. They destroyed things. But it got really good numbers on IWTV, and that's what matters. And I was told by one of the producers at IWTV that us having wrestling in my home fulfilled one of his childhood dreams.
How can you beat that?
I mean, it kind of makes sense. I beat the shit out of my little brother.
We're definitely going to do it again. It really did get a good buzz about it live. We did it on YouTube, and then the replay was on IWTV. And we're definitely going to do it again. I don't know when. We're thinking about doing it maybe for St. Patrick's Day or something.
Do it at somebody else's house, though.
We are looking into doing it at, like, a bar or something. Especially down in my neck of the woods, there's a lot of seasonal businesses that aren't open that time of the year. Right. And we're going to work something out. But we're definitely
going to need a color commentary team.
Oh, dude, you guys are invited. You guys are 100% invited.
Like, I have commentary.
I might even have a location.
I honestly feel like a dick, like, having not invited you to the first one, like, now that I'm saying it out loud, but like, you guys are definitely invited and booked.
I don't go anywhere anyway.
That's what's up. Me neither, dude. I swear to God, I don't go anywhere.
I'm
this
always
is big
working,
for me.
But Tony,
being
I'm a
here
commentary
is big
expert.
For me.
Fuck a tier one wrestling.
Oh,
I worked
yeah,
with Chris
exactly.
Levin quite a bit.
Ooh,
I saw
exactly.
MJF in one of his early matches.
I worked for tier one. Did I work for tier one because you didn't work for tier one?
Doing commentary.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you probably did like the
yeah,
last
you
show.
You did the one. Okay, I remember that. Yeah, because Dennis the dickhead. He's a piece of shit. I'll bury him all day.
Oh, here we go. We got something good here.
So all of us except for Tony.
No, but I remember he hit me up and he was like, hey, you want to do commentary for my show? I usually use Tony or whatever from or who I forget what he said to me, and I remember he said Shining Wizards specifically, and I was like, oh yeah, I mean, if he's not, I'll do it, whatever. And then he's like, I can only give you $20, and I was like, that's
wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think he gave me 30, but yeah,
nice.
So yeah, I remember doing that. That's crazy.
You got fucking $20 to do that fucking dog shit.
Listen, that's not a bad payday, bro.
$20.
Oh, I'm sure he got paid better than me. I was brand new to the business.
The fucking
I was
tolls?
Willing to do anything.
I wasn't doing it for the money. I was doing it because it was a great time, and I got
doing
to
it for the
wrestling.
Love of the business,
yeah, dude.
That's why I do what
that's
I do.
That's the thing, though, and I think I've said this.
And
on
I
your,
do comedy for $20.
I've
every
said
time.
And that's the thing, and I've said this on your. I think I said this on your. I say this everywhere I go. The one thing I was instilled it with by Robbie E was you have to take 2 years and give everything to this business. Yeah. Absolutely everything. Yeah. You need to take every booking that pays $0 that is like 600 miles away. If they're willing to book you and you got people to go with, figure something out, because every opportunity is important. You're going to miss birthdays. You're going to miss weddings. You're going to miss anniversaries. But at the end of the day, you put those 2 years in and people are going to notice. And I think that, I don't know, Robbie and I are living proof of that.
And Robbie just made his TV debut on NXT.
That's what's
week.
Up, dude. I feel good for him. You know, I still have a cigar from the day his kids were born.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Wait, you were there and he wasn't?
Yeah, it was weird.
We used to probably smoke that.
I was wild.
I remember.
I think I'm going to roll a blunt with it eventually.
Rob Echoes.
Can I say that on your show? I'm sorry. I don't know.
Yes.
No,
okay.
Say whatever you want.
Yes, you can definitely say that.
I know, but it's okay for you guys to, you know, it's your hat. It's not my, you know, I don't want to. Okay, you know.
But going back to Rob Echoes was a guy that we would see on the independent scene for years when we were
everywhere.
Probably older than him, probably.
Yeah.
But he would still be working. And he was an acrobat, bro, back in the day.
He was everywhere. And, you know, the thing about him is...
Talking about, like, the late 90s. Like,
when
he 90s.
When he was signed to TNA and he was the X Division champion, and he was still a high school teacher... Yeah. And he was telling me he went to school like with the belt and everything, and the kids loved it. And I think that was so cool to hear.
Oh, boy.
It's the best. We had Danny Doring here, and he brought the original ECW tag title, and it was one of the greatest moments.
That's
of
awesome.
My life.
That's
yeah,
really
it was
cool.
I still throw it up every year on my Facebook page as a profile pic.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff.
Woo! This was fun.
This
we're not
was
done?
A lot of fun.
Are we done?
It's great.
We're done? I don't know what's going on.
Well, take it easy. Give somebody else a chance to breathe.
You know,
like,
when...
What happened?
I didn't say anything for, like, a straight minute in Dallas the other night, they started cursing at me. It was... they were like, this is fucking boring! And I was like, I'm waiting for the cue, guys! It was pretty crazy.
We don't have cues here.
No, we just kind of wing it.
Yeah.
We're in here in the studio, if you're listening to us, with Mark, Adam...
Haggerty.
At Mark A. Haggerty on Twitter. And, of course, he's part of the Locker Room Detectives. Give them a follow over at, once I find it on Twitter here, because I'm a lazy piece
it's
of shit.
It's at LockerDicks.
At LockerDicks.
And you can use the promo code LockerDicks when you sign up for IWTV.
Oh, there you go.
That's there really, you go. And, of course, he'll be at Primetime Wrestling in Washington, D.C.
This Saturday.
This Saturday. And then you're in Tampa. With the Sean Ross Sapp Serve Tall.
Oh, shit, show? Yeah. I forgot. That's what it was called.
That's a whole lot of S's.
That's Mr. Gator in Primetime Wrestling. Yeah, that's them. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at Effie's Big Gay Brunch. I'm going to be at Uncanny Attractions. I'm going to be at Pizza Party Wrestling. I'm doing the second annual Gay Young Classic, which we did last year.
Who won the first Gay Young
That's
Classic?
That's a brilliant name, by the
way. Chris Wolf, the Japanese.
Yep.
She won it. It was basically the Gay Young Classic is a drag queen lip sync tournament between drag queens and wrestlers.
Who was her opponent in the finals?
Katrina Lovelace was the name of the drag queen that she was up against.
Do you recall what the song was?
I don't remember. But knocked out in the first round because he was disqualified was Brody King, who sang Lady Gaga. And he was disqualified because his opponent was a drag king. And, you know, we could probably figure that out. A drag king is a woman who dresses as a man. So that drag king had a strap-on dildo.
Oh.
And Brody...
I love that shit.
Brody went behind the drag king, started swinging that thing around.
And he got disqualified?
That's terrible.
For a dildo swing?
He got disqualified for swinging that dick.
All right.
I want to have a look at these rule books.
Yeah. I'll send you guys the video. It's really
funny. I guess Louis Ramos could never take part in this tournament.
Fuck, he's the king, bro. He doesn't need to take. He's like the godfather.
Hold on, I'm looking.
He's the fucking godfather of this shit.
I'm the king of Dildo, Tennessee.
Oh, God. Mark, this has been...
I've got a show in Dildo, Tennessee coming up, actually.
Is there a real...
No, I don't know. Probably, to be honest.
Is that near my anus?
I don't know. Ask Jim Cornette.
God damn, my anus. Goddamn double cheese, double dildo.
I got nothing else. All right, we're done.
Do we have anything else for Mark?
Mark, before it goes way too fast, before we let you go, is there anything else you want to tell your fans, our fans? Are you stopping at MLW or is the sky the limit for you? Because I think the sky's the limit for you.
I think the sky is the limit for MLW, quite frankly. I think MLW right now is thriving in a major way. They signed me. I'm not saying that, but like they
nailed
signed
it.
They signed Alicia. They signed Eric Stevens recently. There's an amazing group of people there. I'll tell you guys something crazy. You know, guys from New Jersey and everything. And you hear that this is true when you're the Von Erich legend is massive in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you think when I go to a show in Jersey and Nick Gage comes out, that shit's wild. That is insane. This is like 10 times that. These people are insane for the Von Erichs. They love them. I really think that MLW is cooking with gas right now. 2020 is poised to be their biggest year ever, and I'm really psyched to be a part of it. And, I mean, my career isn't – if I play my cards right, my career is not ending for the next 20, 30 years. As a ring announcer, I can do this thing until I'm 70 years old.
That's awesome.
And not that I'll be 70 in 20 years, but but the sky's the limit just for me, but I'm really happy to be with MLW for the foreseeable future.
Mark is 50.
And if MLW is smart and Court Bauer's listening, you strap that rock at the Hammerstone, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hammerstone's great.
I'm all about Hammerstone.
Hell He's my guy, dude. Why are you glomping off my guy?
First of all, his fucking Twitter is amazing.
Matt's a vain guy.
His Twitter's
all –
he knows what to say, man.
You know them legs – some leg veins.
90 serious. Hogan's tan.
90 Hogan's tan series. MJF allegedly might be done with MLW, which is great.
I think it is.
Which is great for Hammerstone. I mean, I love a Richard Holiday.
But Richard Holiday has a 91 Hogan tan.
That's
so
weak.
It's a little. Yeah, exactly.
Him and the AirPods need to hit the fucking bricks.
I wonder what the tan line is with those AirPods.
That's an interesting question. I'm going to look pretty closely now. I'm gonna snap a picture and send it to you guys.
He alternates. He takes one off.
Hammerstone's the future of
MLW. He's the AirPod god.
I think he's the future.
He just won the fucking PCW Ultra Heavyweight Championship.
Good for him. He's been that company for.
I really like Hammerstone, and he's just an example of, like, that's, like, one of those rising stars in that company, just, like, a rising star in this business. It's insane.
Yeah. I told Selena she should have got her hooks into him, but she didn't listen to me.
No, she's looking at the kid, Dominic, what's his nuts,
no,
right?
Gino Medina?
Oh, Gino Medina.
Oh, no, Gino Medina's Dynasty, bro.
Fucking Cole Medina.
I didn't watch the fucking show.
Oh, we didn't
today.
Even talk about it. Damn it.
Yeah, we didn't have a
Gino
chance.
Gino Intocable Medina.
Yes, Gino Medina's Dynasty now.
And Selena was also... too busy being the most downloaded episode of the Shining Wizards podcast on Spotify in 2019.
Last year, yes.
Look at that. That's talking right. about her feet and throwing quesadillas at people.
That's a silly thing.
Hey, cool. Whatever works. That's people right. listen. Mark, it's been a pleasure. Again, you want to follow Mark at Mark A. Haggerty on Twitter. And ProWrestlingTees.com/Haggerty is where you can find his t-shirts. You see him at MLW, at Fight TV with the Locker Dicks.
Locker Room Detectives, Locker Dicks, at Locker Dicks.
At Locker Dicks. Give him a follow. Retweet all their – we retweet all their stuff, and we follow them and support Mark. And
those episodes are every Thursday. We've got two more until the end of season one, but season two will be back for WrestleMania weekend.
Ooh, nice. Get in on the ground floor with Mark, because Mark's going to be a huge star.
Thank you.
That elevator's already up, bro.
It really is. MLW's just the ground floor. And give him a follow and chat him up. He's fucking super active on social media because he just wrestles and he does ring announcing and he does social media.
That's right.
So he's
that's it.
He's the fucking perfect guy to talk to. You talk. It. Just don't ask him about Mitch Bennett, please. Just leave that shit alone.
Yeah, or Baron Corbin apparently,
or Air Fox.
Just you can ask me about Baron Corbin. That's fine.
I hate Baron Corbin.
I don't care. Ask me about whoever. Just don't ask me about their sex videos.
There you go.
What Mark, we usually let the guest pick the going home show
song.
Number.
Going home song.
Yeah.
Anything. Well, it doesn't have to be wrestling related. Whatever you want to hear.
Song?
Any song.
Any song in that comes off the top
you know
of
what?
Domsky.
I just really liked that Los Barriquas jam earlier, quite frankly.
Don't placate this guy.
I really
please.
Like that.
Tony's
like,
going to play
I really
he
like
wants.
Los Barriquas a lot.
No, I can't
don't ask me
it.
To name them.
Savio, Jose, Jesus, and Miguel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure. Or DOA. You got DOA?
Chains, 8-Ball,
Skull, and Crush. Do you have
The Nation? Which Nation?
Chris Levin and I were singing the Nation of Domination theme the other day.
It's funny
because
I just watched A Table for Three with D'Lo, which is, I think, his first time on the network in God knows how long, or and doing anything WWE. D'Lo, comma, and Mark Henry.
I got you, Tony.
I hate this new setup. I can't figure anything
out. You love it.
I'm sorry for fucking up, guys.
No. It's not, it has nothing to do with you.
It's all,
thank you guys
we're
for
dummies.
Having me.
Thank you for joining us, Mark. Mark A. Haggerty on Twitter, at Locker Dicks on Twitter. Give him a follow at Fight TV. You can find a bunch of his stuff at
IndependentWrestling.tv.
Thank you.
There it is.
Give him a follow. Check out the Locker Dicks. Season 1 coming to an end. Season 2 kicks off WrestleMania week in Tampa. Mark will be on MLW Fusion every Saturday night on BN Sports, Monday on YouTube. So be sure to check that out. And everywhere in between, just follow Mark. And next week, Joe Gailey, he joins us to talk NWA Hard Times. And we'll see if Tony can dig himself out of that shitty pick hole that he's in.
Not over yet, son.
Oh, five done. Games out.
Not over yet.
Guaranteed victory.
I've gone perfect twice.
All right. Good night.
Guaranteed victory.
Yeah, I don't know. Kevin.
I guaranteed
stupid.
It like 4 months ago.
Yeah, wow. Good. Good for you.
All right. Shut up.
Yeah. Shit in your hand and wish in the other and tell me which one.
I spilled beer all over your couch. How
yeah, I know.
Them
I hope you got a fucking mop over
rude.
There, Frank Rizzo.
No, dude, the can completely overflowed. Not expected.
Mark, it's been a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, pleasure's all mine, guys.
Thank
seriously.
You. Sorry about
thanks,
Kevin.
Bud. Respect the journalist.